tomorrow's news today.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy had roast beef. This little piggy had none. This little piggy went wee, 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 all the way home. And this little piggy burned down the New World Order. Let me see your war face, Schumer. Let me see your war face, Obama. Let me see your war face. Because what you're seeing from Trump and what you're seeing from people all over the world is our war face. And it's not just the face. It reflects the internal eruption. So good luck. But I commit myself into the hands of God. And I pray on the altar of God that I be given the discernment and the will and the strength and the support to remove the chains from humanity. So let's never forget the business that we are about and the time in which we live. They want to break our will. Don't just survive and persevere and not let them break your will. Instead, take the weight of their assault and use it as a tool to strengthen every fiber of your psyche, your soul, and who you are. And pledge with me, eternal resistance over every form of tyranny that has attacked the mind of man. And pledge, as he pledged 250 years ago, the great architect of our republic, Thomas Jefferson, I have sworn on the altar of God, eternal resistance against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Make that pledge and feel the universe open up. Step into the space-time continuum and realize we're sharing that same moment with Thomas Jefferson now. There is no past, there is no present, there is no future. There is only one endless, timeless moment. And absorb the void, and you will be there staring back at God.
I thought we'd run that little My Little Piggy or This Little Piggy piece from a few months ago, because Trump told this reporter, "Quiet, Piggy." You're noticing with all the Epstein stuff they've already cherry-picked. It's nothing real on Trump. It's implicating all the top Democrats, Hakeem Jeffries, the Clintons, all of them. They're in big, big, big trouble. I'm going to play the Trump clip here in a moment. But it doesn't matter. They're still just going to spin deceptive angles of it. As I predicted, wasn't hard to do. It's a standard procedure. And that's why instead of Trump just saying, it's a hoax, he has to go out and attack them, and because it's the big issue. And he says it's a distraction, which it is. Well, sorry, you've got to meet it head on. He's starting to do that. Of course, the economy is really the main issue. We got big info on that coming up. But let's go out to break with President Trump, because everybody's sharing the little short, quiet piggy thing and not what actually transpired. Here it is.
Mr. President, what did Jeffrey Epstein mean?
I call that funny. They ask you, why is your voice hoarse? He said, I just scream at a bunch of the staff, which he does. If you ever see Trump get mad, it's something else.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Wednesday, November 19th, 2025. I am your embattled host, battle-scarred, battle-hardened, and true always to you. It is Wednesday, November 19th, 2025. Wow, is all I can say. I'm particularly prepared today, and we have some huge guests on. And we already had a lot of the videos and witnesses, and we knew this within a couple months of January 6th. But I know for all of us that already know this, it's like, okay, but now we have the government footage. The government cameras have been subpoenaed. And it's the Capitol Police planting the bombs. And they've been trying to cover up the Capitol Police officer that did it. But she's got a bunch of them helping her. And they're all there clearly doing it. And it goes on for hours, and they just walk right up to them and touch them and handle them, and they know right where they're at, and they let school kids walk by, and they're, you know, they know that, you know, clearly, that it's some type of false flag. Absolutely massive, but for some reason, they didn't go ahead with their plan that day. And so they are in a lot of trouble, but the bigger takeaway, and I'm going to not get to that until the third hour when we have one of the journalists and lawyers and people exposing this, the tip of the spear, the lawyer that first subpoenaed and got the first raw footage in the Capitol when they would fake arrest feds, including Capitol Police and others who were posing as Trump supporters, breaking through the windows, handcuff them, bring them in, and then unhandcuff them and high-five them. Yeah. He's going to be joining us to get into all this. This is huge. I mean, this is a big deal. And again, we knew this back at the time, but now we have all the evidence. And there were actually whistleblowers inside the Capitol Police. You notice they all either got indicted or suddenly died, and they got added to the death list. They said, oh, they died on Jan 6. No, they died in the week after and the months after, but they don't care. They just said they died on J 6. So the level of lying and the level of the deep state being caught is just spectacular. But the bigger takeaway is Cash Patel and the DOJ above him, even though Cash and Bongino were all over TV, congressional testimony with Bongino, it was saying clearly this is a setup. Now they don't want to go there. They're protecting the agencies instead of reforming them, which is the real protection if you want to keep those agencies around. I think they're so incredibly corrupt, they should just be abolished and something new set up. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I don't want to sit up here and rag on Cash Patel and Bongino. Man, I was so excited, and I really had high hopes. And it's just been an unmitigated disaster. Covering up the crooks, shooter, and his background and accomplices. Covering up Epstein. Covering up all the stuff around Charlie Kirk. I mean, I talked to people that were in the White House meeting with Trump. Well, Trump wasn't there, was J.D. Vance and others. Trump got briefed on it when Patel was, you know, yelling at Tulsi Gabbard just a week and a half after Charlie was killed, saying, no, we're not looking at domestic accomplices. We're not looking at foreign accomplices. It's like, well, we have all this intel. And they're like, nope.
you shouldn't be involved domestically. That agency was created to share information with all the intelligence agencies and the FBI after 9/11. Remember, he ran for FBI, basically, publicly. He ran for the nomination, ran to be in the Trump administration, saying we should abolish the Hoover building and turn it into a museum because it mainly does intelligence. The FBI really shouldn't be involved in that. I'm going to get us out of intelligence business. Now he says, no, I'm the only person, we're the only group that can do anything domestically because you don't want to be watched. Yeah, that's what it's really about. There they are today. Good old Todd Blanche, the deputy AG that really runs the show. Top Democrat lawyer. Tosh Patel over there. And good old Pam Bondi, the TV Barbie doll girl. And Trump's not going to put up with all these indictments not happening. Three is not enough of top globalist operatives. We need hundreds. So my prediction is sooner rather than later, they're going to be gone or they're going to start doing their jobs. So that's coming up in the third hour. I'm going to get into the Epstein situation. It's exactly what I said it was, since I'm one of the first people to ever cover it. I know every angle of it. And it's exactly what we knew. Retreaded, recycled, garbage, blacked out to confuse people and deceive. And I exposed this last week. And now, finally, the White House understands it and is talking about it. That's good. And we've got case after case after case of where they're doing this. Stuff that exonerates Trump, that's exculpatory, is spun that it's something bad. Brought to you by the same bureaucracy that said Trump went to St. Petersburg and got off the plane and got pissed on by two hookers. And, of course, we know that was totally fake. When I heard it, I knew it was fake. But I'm not going to go back into all of that. It's just these lies are so outrageous, so people go, that can't be not true. I mean, we're reading in the New York Times that Trump said he hates all Mexicans and loves the KKK. Where's the clip? It's the opposite. But they don't care. So the House and Senate voted to release the Epstein files. But now the DOJ is saying it's not going to be instant because the CIA, as I told you when Trump first got reelected, is in there saying you cannot bring this out. It implicates the royal family of the UK. It implicates the intelligence agencies, the State Department that Epstein worked for that was above the CIA. It's known. Mike Benz has come out. He's got access to that stuff. They have it all. So you want to know who Epstein is? Release the State Department files. These 20-something thousand emails of Epstein are just nothing burger on top of nothing burger, other than it's blowing up the Democrats' face because it's a nothing burger on Trump and Republicans. There's zero there. But it's Larry Summers, Clinton's former Treasury Secretary, super mafia kingpin, on the Communist Chinese CCP payroll, having sex with the top CCP official's daughter, and Summers saying, what do I do about this? They're basically leveraging me. I mean, these guys are something else. I mean, they don't know how to, if they can't get a girl, go to a strip bar or whatever, and just pull one out of the bar, because most of them are really hookers, dummy. I'm trying to explain to them how to get a hooker, but you just go to a, it's not a good thing to do. I'm just saying, you just go, you say, hey, how much money, get you to take the night off? And then, and then you don't have to be under a Chinese spy. Note to everybody out there that can't get a girl. If a hot Russian chick or a hot Chinese chick comes over and they're the daughter of a government official in Russia or China, they're a sex operative. I mean, these guys are just beyond idiots. And so there's that. just like Fang Fang, and, you know, and swallows well. And it just goes on and on from there. And then you've got Akeem Jeffries constantly working behind the scenes with Epstein and just all of them. And so the Democrats think they can bring this out, spin stuff against Trump that isn't there, and then somehow it's not going to hurt them when they're the ones in there. They're the ones. It's beyond insane. Everything they do is like a gun where the barrel aims back the opposite direction, and you pull the trigger and it shoots you in the eye. So we'll be getting into that. In fact, we'll get into that first. Trump is obviously getting ready to hit Venezuela, which is the senior partner to Mexico. Sheinbaum is threatening the U.S., saying the president of Mexico, very unpopular, obviously stole the election. That's been documented for decades. There's no free elections in Mexico. And the people are pissed because they've killed 30-plus, almost 40 populist leaders in states and cities for mayors and governors who are very intelligent, actually pro-free market, gallant people. And the public down there is really pissed off, the citizenry. And so Sheinbaum's on her way out. When Mexico has its Independence Day here in the next few days, you're going to see some real fireworks down there. And Trump is securing the Western Hemisphere. We've already moved into Panama to push the CHICOMs out. The CHICOMs are heavily involved in Mexico, Venezuela, and that's what the Pentagon has come out and said. It's true. That's what Eric Prince has come out and said is true. It is. And then a lot of you out there on the internet that just have one thing you can talk about, one knowledge sector is Israel, because their name's Sheinbaum. You then go, oh, God, it's a Jewish cabal running it and everything. And the reason the U.S. is going in there is the Chinese are openly taking control of the government, backing the cartels, putting communists in. And the CHICOMs have moved into our hemisphere big time. That's what Trump's pushing into Venezuela, Panama, and Mexico on, where the Chinese are taking over the ports, building new ports, building roads, building migration centers to bring the illegal aliens in. It's China. This is a known fact. It's not even debated. And then there are people out there that literally every time I cover this, I'll see videos we post, and like half the comments are, why are you covering up for Israel? That's mental illness. Okay? You can dislike Israel all day long, and Israel's got plenty of problems, and Netanyahu's bad news, but you cannot ascribe all geopolitical activities to Israel. That is a mental illness. It'd be like driving a car and you have tunnel vision. You can only look straight forward. You can't look at the mirrors. You can't look at cameras. You can't turn your head. You have to drive only looking straight forward with blinders on. And we'll be getting into that. Mexico's president warns Trump after U.S. strikes threat, it's not going to happen. Well, don't hold your breath. And the U.S. is now putting up signs on the edge of Mexican beaches and U.S. border saying you should leave the area. So they're going to start blowing up boats coming across, folks. And I predict that's where it's going to start, is the U.S. will start hitting boats in Mexican territorial waters the second they pass over into U.S. territorial waters. And then I would expect some special operations raids down there. So we'll be getting into that. Next hour, every day I've had 20, 30 clips I want to play of Islamicists in Europe, in Canada, in the U.S., in Australia, following the Quran and their plan and how they take over. But I've not gotten to it. It's just really come to a head in the last week, because I wanted to do a deep dive on it. And the problem is there's so much. It's so bad. It's so ridiculous that I've been spending hours a day studying it. I mean, I already know it, but I mean studying the operation. And they're going into the next phase. And I'm explaining the phases coming up. And it is going to get nasty. And they're, again, allied with the NGOs, the left, the globalists. I'll explain why the globalists are doing that. And then even the Saudi Arabian leaders for years have been saying, don't take these people in. It's a setup. They're trying to trigger a war. Yeah. So next hour, it's probably going to take me maybe the whole hour just to get to this. And I want you to understand something. The incredibly insane, dangerous, scary, out of control stuff you're going to see. The exact same behavior, the exact same tactics in Germany, in Sweden, in Italy, in the UK, in Canada, in the US, in Australia, in Africa. Because it is a known battle plan called the Quran. So people need to understand this. And these folks go to, you know, their mosque. The serious ones, like, you know, 6-7 days a week. I mean, this is the blueprint. This is the playbook. This is it. And they're going into their next phase right now. And it is going to get bad, bad, bad. So believe me, you're going to want to see the next hour. You're going to want to share the live feed as well, or tell people at the station you're listening to, whatever you do. You're the Paul Revere's. Share the feeds. Those you share them with, tell them to share them. Say, hey, here's the forbidden information. Here's what the bad guys don't want you to know. Please watch it. Please share it. Tell those you share it with to share it. Tell them to share it. That creates the chain reaction. It can overpower all the sensors, the AI, and everything else. You've got the power. I suggest you use it. You're everything. You're not part of the fight. You're it. Without you, I'm here talking into the void. But let's hit this first. Because this is something that they've been doing in their publications and in their battle plans, like the Podesta plan, and their movies. All these movies are out, how great it is to kill federal officers and blow up ICE facilities and kill Trump. And the military's going to, once the race war starts with the Muslims and the communists and the socialists and the Black Lives Matter and the Trantifa and the Antifa, you know, the old Antifa people and Antifa, that'll be the smokescreen for all the drug cartels and the rest of it to literally just burn the country down, sabotage everything, blow up the power stations, and have us descend into post-industrial America, and then the communist takeover, Clyde and Piven, the final piece of it. And finally, it's hitting the news because here's just one example. 6 congressional Democrats call for a coup. That's them calling for it. This is yesterday. Demand members of the military commit treason and defy orders from the president. Then they have the communists start killing and burning everything down that you're already seeing them start. The agents get attacked, get shot at, everything. When they defend themselves, they always only show you the end of it and say, oh, look, they attack people for no reason. No, you just rammed their car. You just did all that. You just threw bricks at them. You just shot at them. All these mayors saying, get them, they're terrorists, and they're the enemy. They're preparing their uprisings. These have just been probes and tests so far. It's going to be hundreds of times worse than anything we've seen so far. It'll be way, 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 way worse than the summer of love, 2020. And these are just a few examples. It's everywhere because they're not giving up. Democratic Party has record low approval rating, record low fundraising. They're all falling apart. They've turned on Schumer. Cory Booker's calling for Schumer to step down. They're in a desperate situation, and they said, when we get desperate, we do the Podesta plan. Complete with the big Hollywood movie productions last year. 2 years in the making, Civil War, battle after battle right now. Want to be sexy? Want to get the hot girls? Want to be cool? Well, just go out and bomb a ICE facility. Just shoot ICE officers and then walk out of their house with their wife and kids. I mean, this is Hollywood promoting terrorism. They're not doing all this for no reason. They didn't have all those movies and all those shows ahead of Black Lives Matter about white people being racist and evil and white people committing all this crime against black people that didn't exist. For years before the Black Lives Matter thing and the trigger they finally got with George Floyd, You know the pre-programming, plus they write battle plans saying it. So here's six congressional Democrats calling for a soft coup. That's just the rollout of it. You got Scott Jennings on CNN responding, and don't forget, a few months ago, you have Newsom on TV saying we're getting ready to launch an offense, the Western Alliance. That's the name of the group that overthrows and goes and kills Trump using the military in the movie Civil War last year. So this is all very serious. Here's the clips.
I'm Senator Alyssa Slotkin.
Senator Mark Kelly.
Representative Chris DeLuzio.
Congresswoman Maggie Goodlander.
Representative Chrissy Houlihan.
Congressman Jason Crow.
I was a captain in the United States Navy.
Former CIA officer.
Former Navy.
Former paratrooper and Army Ranger.
Former intelligence officer.
Former Air Force.
We want to speak directly to members of the military.
And the intelligence community.
Who take risks each day
to keep Americans safe.
We know you are under enormous stress and pressure right now.
Americans trust their military.
But that trust is at risk.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad,
but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
We know this is hard
and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you. We need you to stand up for our laws,
our Constitution,
and who we are as Americans. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Don't give up the ship.
Boy, the rats are leaving the sinking ship. All the courts have had to rule everything Trump's doing is constitutional with the military. I mean, a few thousand National Guard in the face of 40 million illegal aliens and all this other stuff. And the Democrats refusing, aiding people in many cities, attacking the feds. They're doing constitutional court ordered duty. And they're up there. Don't follow illegal orders. They're implying this is all illegal. Well, let me tell you something. When you tell the military to defy lawful orders, you're involved in sedition. And notice half of those people are spooks. They're not former CIA. They're leftist globalists taking orders from John Brennan. They're like, don't give up the ship. They've already tried to launch all their No Kings crap, their attacks on Tesla. All these attacks on ICE facilities. They're trying to go ahead with their plan. And so that's the real deep state right there, ladies and gentlemen. And they know exactly what they're doing. So remember, I'm the guy up here telling you, you're going to start hearing this. You're going to start seeing this. And now you do. Remember what Trump was president-elect. Turned out there was a coup plot at the highest levels of the Pentagon with top generals planning to, quote, resist Trump and overthrow him. That's a coup. That's illegal. And I mean, when they got caught doing that, they should have all been arrested. But instead, the DOJ is so paralyzed that this is still ongoing. This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at thealexshowstore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra Methylene Blue and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is supposed to be a shutdown. The out-of-state receiver said it'd be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Jones Network, and we will continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's thealexjonesstore.com. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit. He was right about every step of the way.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So we have U.S. senators, members of Congress, CIA operatives putting out videos being pushed out by the Democrat Party, you know, Soros, Act Blue systems to tens of millions of their constituents saying Trump is a criminal, he's a dictator, he's a king, he wants martial law, he's asking you to do illegal things, you're not allowed to have National Guard in America, even though that's all been backed by the courts. The Democrats are trying to foment a civil war, in their own words. This is the definition of seditious conspiracy. This is treason. And I just played the clip, if you just joined us. But here is Scott Jennings on CNN responding to the video you just saw, and there's many others. I mean, this is now gone from a kind of behind-the-scenes thing to being promoted some to full court press, and they're doing it ahead of false flags against illegal aliens, you know, an attack on something like a traditional black college, because they've all pre-programmed. Remember, as I've been warning for a year, Trump gets back in, and once he did, he's going to kill. Tom Homan's going to kill. The National Guard and ICE is going to just mow down illegal aliens. They're just going to mow down black people. They're coming for you. Podesta and Carbel and all of them said, black Americans, rise up with guns. 1776, Carbel said, Trump's coming to kill you. And then when they stage riots, the left finances this. They think there'll be enough black people that believe it when they see the National Guard. They've come to get you. And you got, again, Newsom on TV a month and a half ago saying, look, we're about to launch the Western Alliance. We're about to go on the offense against Trump. And that's what the Podesta plan is, to form their own governments, first as sanctuary cities, and then say that Trump's a dictator, and then launch a civil war. And now they're, it's like pulling the starter on a lawnmower. And you're like, you haven't done the lawnmower in a while. Maybe it's been, the winter, you haven't mowed yet in a month or a couple months. And the engine's cold. And you got to pull it five or six times. And finally, it's on. And they're just pulling it, trying to get it going. Or another analogy, you're on a motorcycle kickstarting it. And you're like, it's on. So that's where they're going here. And it's serious. And I'm glad finally Republicans are talking about it. Scott Jennings calls out Democrats for telling military to defy Trump. These people live in an alternate reality. Yeah, no, it makes no sense. The troops know it's completely legal. By the way, I've run into them in multiple cities like D.C. All of them are my listeners. You've seen it on video. All of them. Not 50%, not 80%. All of them that I ran into in airports, that I ran into at the monument, Washington Monument, everywhere. You got a problem. Because I just been, if the National Guard I run into are all listeners, and I was listening yesterday, well, my dad loves your show, men and women, you got a problem. You think they don't know you're the bad guys? You think they really think Trump's a dictator that won the popular and the electoral vote? No. And when you do stage your false flags, which I've been trying to expose you enough so you won't do it, people are going to know what's really going on. But the corporate media is pushing civil war nonstop. Notice I've been telling you this for years. Really wasn't in the news then. Now it's everywhere, everywhere. And the left says it's a war against evil white people. No, it's populists trying to get control of our country again, legally and lawfully, and the elites want to get us all fighting with each other in divide and conquer. So let's go ahead and go to Scott Jennings.
How is the president pitting the military against American citizens? I don't know what they mean by that. A, B, what are the illegal orders? What are they talking about? It's like they live in an alternate reality. They live in a movie. They live in a TV show where something that's they claim is happening is not actually happening in reality. I don't know what illegal activity they're talking about, but I do know what illegal activity they're recommending. And they're trying to get people in the chain of command to disobey the commander in chief, which would be a terrible idea.
But they're saying don't obey legal orders, which is not
what orders.
Well, I didn't hear them advocate breaking the law.
Well, I mean, I think they're trying to influence members of the military to start to determine all orders are illegal orders just because they don't like Donald Trump. That's the way I took it. I mean, what are they trying to foment insurrection in the ranks of the military? What are they doing?
They're saying if you're being asked to do something illegal, you can come forward.
What is it?
I don't know. An example?
But
I'd like to hear an example, but I don't understand why people are so upset by this.
They're not advocating
anything illegal. I'm not trying to fight with you. I'm just truly mystified because I've heard from 20 people about this.
This goes to the core argument that Democrats have made for 10 years about Donald Trump. They've never gotten over it. He is the legitimately elected president of the United States. He was in 2016. He was in 2024. He is presently the legitimate commander in chief, but you have this group of Democrats who have tried to treat him like an illegitimate president every step of the way for the last decade. This is the latest installment in this fantasy that Donald Trump isn't actually supposed to be able to act as the president or the commander in chief or whatever. And so, I mean, to me, I think this is going to backfire on them. I think this is fan service for the fever swamps of the left. But to the average American, it's going to sound crazy.
Except they're going to stage false flags. Now, notice Jennings said it's like they think it's a movie. I know of at least more than 10 TV shows and 5 major movies the last 2 years literally scripting this out and following the Podesta plan. So when Newsom said the Western Alliance is going on the offense against Trump, the crowd goes, woo, on the Colbert Show. Because they all know about it. We show videos at rallies all over the country. They're like, they're going to end up killing us at rallies, and then we're going to march, and the military will be with us, and we're going to take him out. I played the videos. They know these movies are a blueprint. What do you think one battle after another is? Leonardo DiCaprio just came out a month ago. They know exactly what they're doing. And you got this other talk show host he's arguing with, you know, these Democrat operatives playing dumb. I don't know. What they did wasn't illegal. They're just saying don't follow a legal order. No, they're saying these orders are illegal. They don't say what or how or where the proof is or that the courts have upheld what Trump's doing. They just say it's illegal. Don't abandon ship. Stand up. You know what you need to do. And then we have O'Keefe with the O'Keefe Media Group and Veritas separately getting undercover videos that they released the day after he was sworn in that was shot days before, where you got this FBI CIA liaison who'd been picked up in a child predator sting 3 years before, of course, bragging, yeah, we go into the most classified area, I'm briefing the generals, and now we're going to stop Trump. And we got a coup plan. And then at the same time on CNN, they're like, the military has been meeting and planning how to stop the dictator and his illegal orders when the riots come, which they're engineering. So this is one of their big moves. And I've harped on it a lot in the past. I haven't talked about it in a few weeks, but it's back. And it is a big, big, big deal. And so they have the movies and the battle plans and the promotions and the senators and House members and CIA people saying, do it. And then when they go on CNN or other shows, they go, Scott Jennings, what are you talking about? We're not doing anything seditious. We're not planning a conspiracy. We just have top Democrats in the Senate putting out videos saying we need a coup by the word coup. And John Brennan in 2018 on C-SPAN had all these, quote, former intelligence operatives, hundreds of them in a big crowd, and he goes, he'll be gone in the next year, you don't worry. And they say, you mean impeachment? He goes, no, the other thing. And they all laugh. And then Mudd of the CIA goes on CNN and says, the government's going to kill this guy. Langley's going to kill this guy. And now you've got all these Democrats calling for violence against Trump. But none of them are going to do it themselves. They're trying to, if you're in U.S. intel, you're in the military, Trump is Hitler. We need Operation Valkyrie. We need somebody to stand up to him when he's at the wolf's lair and take a bomb in there and take out Hitler. I mean, that's the whole fantasy. But these people operate on fantasy. They tell the trans people, you're oppressed, you're being attacked, it's terrible, have a trans day of rage, and they go out and start killing and murdering people. It's like a form of LARPing, except they're not live-action role-playing. They actually go out and do it. But that's just the cover for the cartels and the terrorist groups, the Democrats, and elements the CIA are working with, as General Flynn advised the president before he even got reelected. Once you get in, you got to cut off Mexico. You got to free Mexico. You got to free Venezuela. Because they know about fentanyl, which is, you know, a big thing. And they talk about this. But no, the real thing is they're laundering money, financing Democrat campaigns. I mean, people talk about Israel influencing us, and they certainly do. I mean, one of the most powerful lobbies. China heavily involved at so many levels. They can't give money directly, so they do it through surrogates. China's the big one. But Venezuela spends billions a year financing Democrats and communists running as Democrats. And they've got big production behind them. You watch one battle after another. You watch Civil War. It's a communist uprising. I mean, look who plays the bad guy in one battle after another. Sean Penn, who is an admitted communist, loves Nicolas Maduro, loves Hugo Chavez. He's a literal operative. In fact, it's going to be coming out, ladies and gentlemen, that somebody's been on the Venezuelan payroll for a long time. He literally produces movies that are communist uprising productions with Leonardo DiCaprio starring. See, you have a normal job. You're a normal person. You're around normal people. So you hear all this. I know new viewers, the hardcore audience understands it. But I understand a lot of the public hears this stuff, and it just sounds like, really? Look around you. And, of course, who are they? They're the globalists. They're BlackRock and the big banks behind it all, even China. And the CIA involved as well. Patrick Burns said he's right. And notice the CIA doesn't want Trump to go into Venezuela. They're saying Maduro will step down, just leave his security chief, his intelligence head in. He'll go to Switzerland or wherever, and he'll still be the boss. And the CIA will still honor the money. And Trump's like, no, I know that's funding the deep state of the Democrats. I want it cut off because Trump's got people like Michael Flynn, who used to at the highest security levels have access to everything and still does, who knows how it all works. You don't think Trump just showed up to send in troops and the rest of it into Panama? Their government said, sure, where would you help push out the Chi-Coms? You don't just think Trump just came up with all this on his own on the golf course, do you? So people are like, you've always been against these wars because the CIA was for all those. They're not for these. They don't want Mexico freed with real elections. They don't want Venezuela free with real elections. They don't want our flank secured. They don't want prosperity for Latin America. Again, Venezuela used to be per capita individuals until 30 years ago, richer than the average American. The average income of Venezuela was one of the highest in the world. They ate their dogs a long time ago. You look at these countries and ask, why are they in such squalor? Why are they falling apart? It's not because their populations are brown. It's because they fell into tyranny. Look at the Russians. They're super smart. They were living like dogs under the Soviet Union. In total, just horrible for most people. Because they lived under a tyranny. Mexico, incredibly wealthy with their resources and their culture. But they've never really had freedom. None of their independences were real. They had dictator after dictator. It's always been a fraud. It's always been a scam. And we're corrupt, too. It's just we're not as corrupt as them. We're the best house in a bad neighborhood, and we're trying to clean house right now. We're trying to do a remodel here. We're trying to upgrade. Yeah, you know a communist in Venezuela because it's a status that literally the average Venezuelan looks like a scarecrow. They're so skinny. Thousands and thousands die every few weeks from starvation. Literally, it's called malnutrition. Communists pass a law where you can't report on it. But the communists all weigh about 300, 400, 500 pounds. Because they just gobble and gobble and gobble and gobble. And it's the same thing in Cuba. I've seen the videos. I've never been to Cuba. I'm not into this kind of thing. You know, just to explain that. But you can go into YouTube. So I saw it years ago. And I've seen it on X, too. Without even looking, I've seen so many videos. Guys go to Cuba with like $10 of dewormer from Tractor Supply. And these gorgeous women that aren't hookers full time, they just go to the tourist area and go have sex with you for a box of $10 dewormer. But the communist knows they search your bags when they come in, so most of the time you don't get the dewormer in. You can go sell a box of that, but again, they have nothing to give you because you can't even take money in and buy food. You have these little meal tickets. You got to go to the communists to get the food. And that's what the average American who thinks Mondami is going to give them free stuff, they actually think that's the way this works. You could literally, if you're a pervert, fill up a suitcase, if you got it through, full of dewormer, and you could go have sex with 200 women in a month. And I've seen the videos of people going up, and it's beautiful women. And they don't want to do that, but they got worms, folks. Their government doesn't even care enough about them to get them $10 dewormer. And if they catch you eating a crab at the beach at night, 5 years in prison. They catch you getting a lobster. They catch you getting a conch shell and, you know, eating the pink meat that's in those delicious. 5 years in jail. Because you're under their thumb on purpose. They know what they're doing on purpose. This is the plan. Now I want to do the dive on Islam. The Epstein thing is really important just to know how they manipulate and how it's become the major issue and it's becoming the Epstein administration. And it's very damaging to the country. And, of course, there's nothing real there on Trump. But the handling of it by the White House has been absolutely atrocious so far. They're getting better now. And it's all blowing the Democrats' faces. So we'll be getting to some of that. But just remember, I'm not fun about George Soros or the globalists or the New World Order or anybody. I'm fun about you at thealexjonesstore.com. And I sell you products that really work so you'll get them and love them. Our ultramethylene blue is simply incredible. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel, ball caps, T-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, all these different sections, over 600 designs. It's actually insane. And they also come with a bunch of Patriot flags that are really fun to hang on your wall, your office, or fly outside. And so every order until this Friday, it ends this Friday, gets $10 off at checkout on top of all the sales, just automatically, no promo code. Just when you know, hit exit, it just, you know, hit buy, it just boom, $10 comes off. And you get a free mystery flag. Now, I didn't come up with a plan of me with a bullhorn. I think it's get a better picture of me, by the way, the bullhorn, but whatever. I'm not mad at him. That is a cool flag. That was the flag I wanted. The join or die, the don't tread on me. These things, we got to hang them up in the office. They are really sexy, nice flags. And they're free. Free with every order and $10 on top of that. The Shilajit, the Irish Chemosh, the bovine colostrum, everything we have is the very best. The Space Force design I came up with back in 2020, very popular shirt. Now limited edition flag. And I don't know what flag you're going to get because they have limited supplies of all of them. So they're not saying, oh, you get this flag or that flag because they've got a couple of the flags and not much of the other. So I don't know what you're going to get. And they're reordering them. They've got some new designs coming out as well. But it's a fun little memento. And I really appreciate your support. I can't do it without you, thealexjonesstore.com. All you that have supported, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and salute you. And I want to just encourage everybody else, the vast majority of you that have never gone to thealexjonesstore.com, that I don't own, that Bigley does, and they financed and own the Alex Jones Network, our backup system. We're very close to being shut down, so I don't even talk about it anymore. They got the receiver in here, and they're going to try to do an auction. Maybe the good guys can buy it. I don't think that's going to be allowed to happen. But they plan for the doors to be shut in early January, and they could double-cross from what they've said. Not even double-cross. They haven't said, like, guarantee that. Like, well, we think maybe this. So I don't know. And these guys hold their cards close to their chest. They don't really sit there and talk to them like 30 minutes. They don't say five words. I'm just sitting there. Okay, fine. So I don't know. But just know, you go to Infowars.com and it's gone. Go to Rumble for Alex Jones. Go to X for Alex Jones. the app. I don't own the app. That's a Bigly app. So you hear the show there. AlexJonesApp.com, the free Droid, the free Apple. It's free. Oh, by the way, when you buy any products at thealexjones.com through the app, it's the very same shopping cart, you get an additional 20% off on top of that, making a lot of stuff a loss leader, but that's their idea. They want to incentivize everybody getting it. And it's right up there at the top of all the apps. So I want to congratulate everybody that's been doing that. Please tell your neighbors, your friends, your family, your whole email list, your text message list, who are the Paul Revere's. Hey, here's AlexJonesApp.com. Get the most forbidden broadcast, most censored broadcast in the world for free. Download the app on Droid or Apple. Send it out to your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. This is an info war. Say, hey, the bad guys don't want you to hear this show. I'm asking all you that have the app to share it with others and tell others to get the app. You're the Paul Revere's. You're the emissaries. You're the ambassadors. You're the missionaries getting the truth out in this fight. And I salute you and I thank you. But I can't do this alone. And you've stood with us, but a very small percent. I know a lot of you share the articles and videos. Great. A lot of you pray for us. Thank you. But if you are somebody that already knows how great supplements are, we have the best. Heard about methylene blue. You've seen the rave reviews. This is not hype. I mean, once you get it, you're going to go, wow, I wish I would have already gotten that. So 99% of you are sitting there on the fence right now. That's why we're in this position. I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying this is a participation sport. This is an info war. Revolutions take money to finance. And communists, you know, rob and kill and kidnap people and rob banks to get their money. We just good old-fashioned capitalism sell you great products at great prices and just ask for you to join us in this fight. But if you don't, you are hurting yourself. I mean, it really is a no-brainer move to financially support this broadcast. The products are out of this world. Our information is having devastating effect and is ultra-accurate. We really are the tip of the spear. And that means when you fund us, you're the tip of the spear while you're making yourself healthier and wealthier and wiser. It's a no-brainer. Shilajit, Iris Seamoss, Ultimate Life Force is amazing. Detox, cardiovascular formula, you'll love it. It's all there, thealexjonesstore.com. There's so many other great products on the site as well. All right. I got a few Epstein things to hit. And then I want to get into Islam. Because the last few weeks it's been really coming to a head, and I've covered it some, but I kind of pull back because this is so bad. It's not good to just show one example because that's almost like a cover-up. You got to see this for yourself, and I'll explain how it all works. I know a lot of you know how it works, but people that don't. This is important information. We'll be right back.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
That's what it does, though. It scrapes the collective unconscious, subconscious. All reflection of us, folks. All right, here's the press secretary, you know, days after we broke it. And I'm not saying, I'm not being mean, but they should be ahead of this. We should be behind them. And then you've got, Representative Comer exposes House Democrat leader Hakeem Jeffries' connection to Epstein. Then they caught, again, the other Democrat being given orders in live time, what questions to ask in congressional hearings by Epstein. I mean, they're the ones that are involved with Epstein. Here's some of the clips, and then we'll come back with big news.
But if you look at how this Epstein story sort of evolved over the past week, it's classic Washington hoax.
Yes.
You have Democrats on the Oversight Committee leaking redacted information to their favorite reporter at CNN, who then pops the story with that redacted information and does not reveal that the unredacted version is available. And the unredacted version proves that the so-called victim in this email is a woman who is unfortunately deceased, but prior to her death said on numerous occasions that President Trump never did anything wrong and was always incredibly friendly in her interactions with him. And so it's a purposeful leak to try to manufacture this news cycle to drag the president. And we've seen this play out so many times. It is a classic playbook of the Democrats using their friends in the fake news to spin up a narrative about the president. And so we just don't tolerate it. We don't give in. We just call it out for what it is and we move on.
Colleagues' coordination with Epstein. Another email shows Democrat fundraisers invited Epstein to an event or to meet privately with Hakeem Jeffries as part of their 2013 effort to win a majority. So Hakeem Jeffries' campaign solicited money from Jeffrey Epstein. That's what we found in the last document batch. The files underscore why former President Trump must appear for his deposition. We've subpoenaed him. To date, the Democrats have done nothing to help us secure his appearance. I support full transparency. The Oversight Committee will continue to work to get the truth to the American people and to get justice for the victims. That's our goal of this investigation. With that, I yield back.
The gentleman yields back.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, we reserve.
The gentleman reserves. The gentleman from Maryland is recognized.
Now, this is amazing, and I'll get to it more later. But so they have the text messages of Epstein. That's part of this drop. And you got the Democrat congresswoman in live time, because they were able to sync it up with C-SPAN at the exact time the text messages come in. And he's telling her what to ask. And she doesn't even, she says, I don't even know who these people are. He goes, just don't worry, just ask it. So my point is, more and more of this is coming out. You got Larry Summers, head of Harvard, former Treasury Secretary for Clinton, totally corrupt, constantly at the island, all the rest of stuff. And then he's like, oh, I got a Tri-Com spy. What do I do? I'm dating the daughter of the CCP deputy head and, you know, all the rest of it. Now he's had to resign from OpenAI, and he's going to get kicked out of Harvard now and all the stuff. I mean, it's just, and it's going to be more. And then you got Epstein making jokes about, you know, Trump. I wonder if he, you know, blows Bubba. Everybody goes, oh, who's Bubba? It's gay. I mean, blowing somebody means kissing their ass, whoever Bubba is. But that's all they got. I mean, but If you turn on the news, you'd think Trump got caught, you know, screwing a 5-year-old girl or something. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
So I'm about to get into the different factions of Islam and the Muslim Brotherhood and this giant invasion of the West that even top Saudi leaders for a decade, and I have clips, have said, you need to stop Muslim immigration. You need to shut this down. You're bringing in the worst people. We would never bring these people into our country. They will try to overthrow you. I'm not saying Saudi Arabia is perfect, but it wants to be in the space age. It wants to be advanced. It wants to be on the cutting edge. When Trump talked about the crown prince's reforms, CNN goes, what civil rights reforms? They're banning the burqa and saying women will drive cars and go to college and have jobs, and it's happening. So, you know, the place where Islam came from with Muhammad now understands long term it's going to get them all killed. And Trump's trying to actually maneuver this, but it's the Muslim Brotherhood that Obama backed that is behind 90% of the Islamic expansion. So I'm going to get into that. And again, Trump said when he ran, he goes, I'm not going to tell countries how to operate or what to do with civil rights. They're their countries. We're our countries. And Saudi Arabia is investing basically most of their money with us. And they rounded up the leaders in their government that were involved with Al-Qaeda, put them in prison, executed them, or did house arrests. And Trump did that in his first administration with the crown prince. Didn't get a lot of news attention, but it was a war. It happened because that Saudi faction staged the Vegas attack. Remember, you're supposed to forget about that. And now when Trump says he wants some from the Saudis, they do it. And so he was speaking at the U.S.-Saudi Investment Forum as we speak, but still ongoing, but a little bit earlier. He responded to the right wing of the right wing, if you want to call it that, really just populists that know we've been deindustrialized, and he explained to them why they need these skilled labor visas. Now, obviously, they're abused. 70% of it is out of India, and out of one region is the majority. And this needs to be curtailed. It needs to be reviewed. It needs to be cut back, in my opinion. But obviously, MTG's been attacked for saying, yeah, you know, we can't just kick everybody out. We need to kick the criminals out and people that are freeloading, all the rest of it. I think we've been so overrun, though, that I'm for an immigration total moratorium for a decade. What I'm saying is, though, I'm a pragmatist. We elected Trump. He's way better than total open borders and giant human trafficking and telling all the mentally ill and criminals of the world, Biden administration telling Venezuela, dump all your criminals on us. It's night and day. And so many conservatives really pissed at Trump
and ham-fisted statements like, well, you know, we just don't have the talent. He was specifically speaking about super advanced microchips, super advanced magnets, batteries, things like this. And then I see people respond back and go, well, we invented the microchips. Yeah, but for decades, it's all been shipped to Taiwan and South Korea and China. Trump has gone in and gotten South Korea to move the technology here. He's gotten Taiwan to agree to basically stop their main manufacturing there. It'll take them 2 years to build it, but they broke ground. I mean, this is happening. And they're building gigantic facilities. And then they're bringing their engineers and people over here to give us their advanced technology. This is a huge technology transfer back to the U.S. Instead of all of our technology being taken out of the U.S., it's coming back in. And people say, oh, we know how to do it. The top engineers will tell you with the AI and stuff they've got going, they don't even know. All their people who get together are not even sure how they're making this stuff. It's the computers doing it. And just the water we have in different areas of the U.S., just since Trump got in, they've had all of these top engineers over here doing tests and stuff and trying to find out. So now they're saying they're going to have to ship the water and other things they use from their countries here because every batch of water from an area is different. You're like, what are you talking about? These chips are so advanced, so hard to make. And these chemical mixes are so hard to make. This is like beyond alchemy, okay? I mean, you got a chip the size of the end of my finger that's more powerful than all the computers in all the world 20 years ago. I mean, this is insane, okay? Call it alien technology, whatever you want to call it. We've not been doing anything like this for decades. We don't have this. It's a strategic disaster. And so he's got the Koreans and the Taiwanese and all the rest of them saying, okay, we'll side with you. We don't want to go with communist China. Fine. You want it built in America? Because, you know, China can take Taiwan. Fine. We're moving everything to you. And then Trump says, we need these people here. And the average American goes, no, we're smart. We can do that. Well, yeah, we'll be able to once we have it. Take my crew. Every TV studio is a little different. This one is proprietary, the way it operates, satellite uplinks, encoders, all of it. People come here from network TV and stuff. They go, we don't have all this stuff. We had to do it all ourselves. That which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. We have to know how to do everything. We have our own big generators when the power goes out, whatever, you know, self-sufficient. Combat model, optimal self-sufficiency, probably the leader. The point is that I could try, we've done it, go out and hire people that are engineers or top, you know, TV producers or TV production workers, camera people, and they come in here and they go, what the hell's all this? Because there's so many skills. That's why this crew is beyond precious. And they put up with so much, not getting raises in 3 years through bankruptcy and stuff. They will once the new company's fired up. I'm fighting. It's going to happen. But my point is that the crew's like, well, when we shut down, we're really not going to get laid off. I intend to up the quality. I intend to hire more people. I intend to get bigger in the face of tyranny. But I'm like, I'm explaining something. Like, do you understand? I need you. You don't really need me. Okay. Well, it's the same thing. Oh, just have, you know, I mean, Trump does it ham-fistedly. Well, we don't have the talent right now. And he goes on to say, but we're going to get it once we're trained. Well, yeah, it's like having some jujitsu master. Let's say jujitsu, you know, wasn't really taught in the U.S. in the 70s, kind of gets here in the 80s. You can't just walk over and say, well, this American, this black guy or this white guy, you know, he'll, you know, you can just be a jujitsu teacher. Like, well, it takes 10 years to get that good, 20 years. No, you got to go get the Brazilians and bring them up here, and then they teach us, and then we work on it and get better and better, and now our stuff's better than theirs in many cases. But you got to first get the technology. So China has 95% control of rare earth minerals. Trump's stopping that. You got to have the material. He's getting the material. Elon's already moved into Central and South America, invested tens of billions to literally build the mines to get this. You have any idea how expensive these mines are? And these aren't mines with little black kids in the Congo, you know, down in a pit with pickaxes.
These are the big ones with the giant dump trucks you can put 15 school buses in and, you know, stuff that looks like, you know, science fiction. So that's what all this stuff takes. All this stuff we've got had to be developed by engineers and inventors and scientists. And I know our truck driver listeners get this. I know our scientist listeners get it. I know our farmers get it. And I mean that. A truck driver, a farmer, a scientist, they all have a bunch of knowledge about what it takes to do something that for somebody else looks simple. Driving a truck ain't simple with all the jobs and the things you got to go and where you got to go and the rules and what you got to do and all the craziness. That's competency, especially long-haul trucking. It's the same thing to be a doctor, same thing to be a nurse, same thing to be a farmer. People have to do a lot of stuff, have to do a whole bunch of jobs. They know stuff ain't easy. You don't just snap your fingers and it's just, oh, there it goes. It's like raising a child. Baby doesn't come out of mama knowing how to play the violin, knowing how to ride a bucking bronco. You think some welder just learned how to weld? You know, it's all that goes into it. And so I said I get into Islam, so I need to get out of this and get into the Islam. But I'm not even defending what Trump's saying. But because of the road we're on with the AI race and all this, on our trajectory to defeat China in the AI race, this has to be done. We have to have the energy. We have to have the people. We have to have the know-how. And to have these Asian countries side with us against China and bring us all their secrets. And then people, I mean, because it's ultra super hard. Nobody else can even do it now at this level. Even with their environment tested, they're not even sure why it all works. Like, they'll say, like, we don't know why it works with this water and not that water. We don't know why we add this ingredient and it's, and you know, this rare earth has to be from here and not there, even though under a spectrometer it says it's the same rare earth mineral, but if we use it from this country and not that, it doesn't work. I mean, it's a real art form here, folks. In fact, they're really worried that it might take years and years and years just to even figure it out, because you got to do a different formula once you get here. This is beyond rocket science, okay? This is Mars attack stuff. This is like, okay? Again, they'll tell you, you look it up. They don't even know how this is working. And for whatever reason, stereotype, you know, Kenyans are the best long-distance runners in the world. Well, the Taiwanese and people, just for some reason, not even the Chinese, the Taiwanese, kind of same group, a little bit different. They just, why can these people seem to do it? Nobody else can. Well, we'll figure it out. And they're over here saying, we'll try here. We'll tell you. You know, we'll build our factories here. Yes, sir, Mr. President. So Trump's right in that if you want all this here, maybe we should just go total Amish. Then we'll get invaded by the Chinese, but that's probably the best movie, probably. But my point is, we're not going there. So that discussion's already over. So for people to just say, oh, let's score a point. Look, Trump says we need these people over here to train our people. No, we know how to do that. Really, they don't even know how they do it. Did that sink in? They don't even know how they do it. Our best people, and they've got the Taiwanese, the Indians, the Americans, all of them, try to make these chips, and it almost always doesn't work. The Taiwanese have a huge success rate, and they're like, we're not sure why either. So, again, this is magic, basically. It's gotten to the level where they don't know how it's working. That's really what magic is there's properties in the universe that we don't fully understand. We don't know how it works. We just call it magic. You go to, you know, Central Africa where they've never seen a cell phone and show them it, or even show them a bottle of Coca-Cola. They don't know how to get into it. You know, they beat it with a rock and all that. It's not that they're bad people. They just never see the technology. We know how to open a bottle of Coke. So we laugh at them, but Trump is pragmatically doing the best he can. Doesn't mean it's perfect. You know, I love the headlines all over the news yesterday. Jones turns on Trump. Jones divorces Trump. Jones secedes from Trump. Did not ever say that. But they use my credibility to try to turn you against Trump. Yeah, here's one of the videos I was talking about. And no, I'm trying to get Trump that's driving the car. And I'm kind of like the navigator. Let's say he's flying a B-17. And I'm the navigator. I'm kind of like, hey, you might want to course correct here. Hey, or I'm a spotter in the B-17. I'm like, we got six Folk Wolves coming in at, you know, 11:15. And they're opening up with their cannons in their noses. I'm just like, got another one coming in at 6 o'clock. That's it. It's that simple. So the white pill babies out there that literally are like a cult, Jones criticizing, burn him at the stake. You're idiots. You don't know anything about any of this. You're lightweights. You're very thin context and depth. Okay? I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm just like, you know, until you have any gravitas, don't sit there because it makes you feel powerful and criticize me that I'm with the Democrats. I'm trying to stop Trump. We need to just agree with whatever bad people in his admin are doing and shut up. And he plays 10,000 quadrillion 3D chess. And if we just get on our knees, it'll be fine. No, you already saw that in the first admin that he admitted was overrun. And you people back then said it was all 10,000 trillion 3D chess. You were full of shit. You were wrong. So I don't listen to you. I didn't listen to you then. I know I was right. I know I'm right now. I'll be put in prison if the Democrats get back in. I need him to succeed. Don't you ever sit there and tell me that I'm some Democrat operative or that I'm a sellout. You don't know anything. You don't have the scars. You haven't had your family attacked. You're anonymous people, most of you. Don't you look at a man scarred from the real wars and tell me who I serve. My record stands on its own. The only reason I bring that up is not to defend myself, but I'm tired of people acting like children. Be like an 8-year-old at an NFL football game watching some quarterback get sacked and say, oh, he should have done it this way. You're a joke. Go to Trump, here it is.
When these plants, which are being built now, and many are going to be started very shortly, many, but when they open, we're going to see numbers the likes of which nobody's ever seen before. And, you know, in some cases, you're building extremely complex plants. You're building plants to make computers and to make telephones, to make a lot of different things, missiles. But you're building plants that make things that are very, very detailed, and you have to have great knowledge. And you're coming here and you find if we don't have people that did that before, we are allowing you, and I may take a little heat. I always take a little heat from my people, the people that love me and the people that I love. They happen to be toward the right of center, toward the right. Sometimes they're way right. But if you have to bring people to get those plants opened, we want you to do that, and we want those people to teach our people how to make computer chips and how to make other things. You can't come in, and I'm explaining, you can't come in, open up a massive computer chip factory for billions and billions of dollars like is being done in Arizona and think you're going to hire people off an unemployment line to run it. They're going to have to bring thousands of people with them, and I'm going to welcome those people. Now, I love my conservative friends. I love MAGA. But this is MAGA. And those people are going to teach our people how to make computer chips. And in a short period of time, our people are going to be doing great. And those people can go home where they probably always want to be. You know, when people are born someplace, they tend to want to go. And we have the greatest country in the world. But they want to go. But they're going to do. We had one case in Georgia where a battery factory. Batteries are very dangerous to make. They're complex, much more complex than people understand. And they brought in, they spent $1 billion to build a factory. And they were told to get out. And I said, stop it. Don't be stupid. And we worked it out. And now they're teaching our people how to do it. But they're going to have to spend... Jensen, I don't think you can open up a big plant with your friend from Taiwan where we're going to have 40 or 50% of the computer chip business at a very... I don't think you can do that with people that don't even know what a chip looks like. Do you agree with that? So somehow, you know, the people that are against this are really, really smart. They're unbelievable patriots, but they just don't understand. Our people have to be taught. This is something they've never done. And we're not going to be successful if we don't allow people that invest billions of dollars in plant and equipment to bring a lot of their people from their country to get that plant open, operating, and working. I'm sorry. So my poll numbers just went down, but with smart people, they've gone way up. They've gone way up.
That's the Trump I love. But the globalist Rothschild economist says America's fantasy of homegrown chip making. Well, the main investment just happened. It's going on. And the cheap attack on Trump, I've seen it everywhere, is how dare you say we can't make chips? We invented it. And the knowledge base was given away. The transfers began in the 80s, accelerated in the 90s and 2000s, and it's not here. I live in Austin, Texas, the second most powerful chip-making center in the U.S., and I know a bunch of the engineers, everybody. I talk to them all the time, and they said, oh, yeah, the Taiwanese are just light years ahead of us. We cannot compete without this. This is so important. Now, the whole H-1B visa, all that's been totally abused, and it needs to stop. And the chain migration, all of it, 100%. And, of course, it's going to get abused. But I understand why Trump's saying what he's saying. I understand why he's doing what he's doing. Now, we have a big guest coming up. And it would probably have taken me 45 minutes to hit this Islam thing. But, you know, I can give limited comment on this and just move through it quickly. And this is kind of a first run at this because this is something I need to focus on more. I focus on a lot. But, I mean, it's so bad, it's come to such a head that I'm going to spend a lot more time on it. So wait till the next segment. We're going to break. We have a sale going until Friday evening at midnight where you get $10 off at checkout, no promo code, just $10 taken off on top of all the sales, and you get a free Patriot flag randomly. There's four flags we have left in stock. They're ordering more. Gas and flags, you name it. Get a free flag, but the real reason you want to go there is because the supplements are so incredible, and we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel, ball caps, T-shirts, all of it, but the Ultra Methylene Blue, you're crazy if you don't get it. We have the best. It is such a game changer. Huge pick-me-up with no letdown. You've seen the rave reviews. You've read the rave reviews. This is not hype. You are really missing out if you don't go to thealexshowstore.com and get Ultra Methylene Blue, get the Irish Sea Moss, get the Shilajit. We have all the best. Oh, yeah, creatine came in. We have the highest quality creatine. A lot of just basic staples are there. The very strongest, best turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Great natural fat burner. Also makes you feel great. Ultimate burn. You want beef tallow? We got beef tallow balm. People love it. It's all there. Optimal Human. Wow, the best, strongest green drink out there. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I thank you for all your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. When you have the free Droid or Apple app at AlexJonesApp.com and you buy through the shopping cart there, additional 20% off and everything on top of that. That's insane.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go
themselves.
This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at thealexshowstore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra Methylene Blue and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is supposed to be a shutdown. The out-of-state receiver said it'd be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Jones Network, and we will continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's thealexjonesstore.com. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I was thumbing from Montgomery. I had my guitar on my back. When a stranger stopped beside me in an antique Cadillac.
He was dressed like 1950.
He was dressed like 1950, half drunk and hollow-eyed. He said, it's a long walk to Nashville. Would you like to ride, son?
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
I sat down in the front seat. He turned on the radio. And them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white pale when he asked me for a light. And I knew there was something strange about this ride.
He said,
Drifter, can you make folks cry when you play and sing? Have you paid your dues? Can you moan and bleed?
They're so great. I came in here to Scott and Daria this morning and I said, I cut out most of the clips I got together last week. Here's this. And it turns out these clips are over an hour long, just the clips. So they were just telling me during the break, yeah, boss, maybe you should do a special show with these. Because each one I can talk about for like an hour. I mean, this, and this isn't, no one's done the deep dive on Islam. And this isn't even the deep dive. But compared to everybody else, it is. I mean, this... You understand, two-thirds of the stuff I got in the last week researching this, I didn't give to them because I was like, well, that's too much. I'll just give them the really bad stuff. It's like an hour and 7 minutes of stuff. Maybe I'll do a two-hour, four-hour commercial-free show Saturday and just do this. But I'm sure we'll bomb Venezuela by then or something, and I'll be on that. Here's the deal, folks. Only the West has this open border thing and is anti-tribal. And that, some of our success has been because of that. So I don't hate anybody. But the rest of the world is extremely tribal. And Muslims are as tribal as it gets. And so I can do hours just on the Shiites and the Sunnis and then the subgroups within that. And the Muslim Brotherhood, that's the main group, and even all the clips of Saudi leaders, I'm not lionizing them, they were like, hey, better watch out, Muslim Brotherhood. And it's the Muslim Brotherhood that's doing almost all of this. And they have a plan, and it's in the Quran. It's systematic. And Muhammad was able to take over the town he was in just a few years. And he said, we'll take over the next town, the next town, the next town. By the time he was dead, he controlled hundreds of thousands of square miles. And within 100 years of his death, it was the biggest empire in the world. And how they do it is, they show up, Quran tells you to lie, act like you're a friend, be nice. Then you start stabbing people, burning people, killing people, and then... they have the leaders going, oh, we're your friends. Sorry, that's not us. Then it expands more. You drive everybody out of the area. Then you get full control. Under Islam, if a person's not a Muslim, you can put them in sex slavery. You can kill them. I mean, there's never been an ideology this systematically evil. It's cancer, basically. And the thousands of attacks on Europe and taking over Spain and the liberal media. Oh, the Crusades just went to the Middle East for me and the Muslims. No, they were getting into Western Europe. They were taking over. Finally, people woke up and fought back. So I've got footage in Houston and Dearborn, Michigan and Minneapolis, Minnesota, where of the call to prayer and the Muslims saying, if we see your dog at the park, we're going to kill it. Dogs are unclean. And, you know, little kids in burqas and then marrying off nine-year-olds, wedding footage of it. But the point is, it's a formula. So now, in the UK, in Germany, in Sweden, and now it's starting in Canada, they got to put up barriers around Christmas festivals because the Muslims say, oh, we love Jesus, he's a prophet, but... if you try to have any Christian event, they burn down tens of thousands of churches in Europe. They're burning them down everywhere else. If you say a prayer at a baseball game in Houston, Muslims show up and kill you. That was just a few months ago. And they say, we're not going to let you do this. So I can show you the exact stuff in Australia, exact things in Italy, exact things here. With the same flags, the same chants, the same things. And once they get up to 5-10% in an area, they're able to swing elections with that number, whoever they get behind, because they vote as a block. It's a total takeover plan. And so we've got a 1,500-year-old plan that Muhammad figured out in Medina at the crossroads of the caravans going to the east, the Silk Road. And we're sitting here with a medieval game plan, but it works because we won't admit we're up against a medieval game plan. So here's a clip of Islamic expert Bill Fettiger. What he's saying is 100% in the Quran, explaining how this works. So that I can show you the exact same rhetoric, exact same marches, exact same attacks in every Western country, right when they hit between 5 and 10%. They usually launch at 10, but sometimes they jump the gun. And that's what the stabbings are. That's what all of this is to drive you out of the neighborhood. Then they take control, and they take control of the government. They put the government funds into themselves, and they expand. So I've got the first clip. Let's go to it.
Muhammad was kicked out of Mecca around 622 AD, and he goes to Medina, which was a Jewish city, and the Jews let him in as a Muslim immigrant. He goes into the minority neighborhoods, begins to get a following. His following grows. He gets involved in politics, and he insists that the Jews make a treaty with him. Now he's a political leader. And then he allows his followers to rob caravans headed back to Mecca, and he becomes a military leader. And so within 5 years of Muhammad coming into the Jewish city of Medina, there's not a Jew left in the city of Medina. They were chased out, killed, or enslaved. And so it's a three-step process. Come in as an immigrant, go into minority neighborhoods and build a political following and get involved in politics. And then you have random outbreaks of violence that drive out the previous inhabitants of the neighborhood, and they take over neighborhood by neighborhood, city by city, country by country. There's a 1,400-year track record to watch this happening. I put it in a book called What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran, A History of Islam in the United States. So crime going up is their goal. Why? Because if crime goes up in the big city, pro-family people and pro-small business people leave. Well, they're a higher percentage Republican. Who's left in the city? More people on welfare. They're a higher percentage Democrat. And so when crime goes up, the Democrats get a monopoly on city politics. And in election years, whoever wins the big city wins the state. Whoever wins the state gets all the electoral votes. Presidents elected by electoral votes. So this is their goal. They want to go into the cities and have crime go up so that the Republicans leave. If they win that big city, they win the whole state, and then they can take the country.
And then the left's allied with them because they give them votes. But it's a set plan. They know exactly what they're doing. And I can show you hours of statements like this one I'm going to show you. Of the imams and all the rest of it. So let's play this clip. And then clip three as well. And then I want to just first show you Europe before we move to other countries. Show you the exact same thing. In Hamburg, Germany, the Islam crowd is protesting in preparation for the upcoming Christian fair, threatening to attack it. You know, when they drive their trucks over people. Then I've got England, where they're doing the same thing. And then I cut to Texas and Michigan, and the exact same crowds, exact same flags, exact same chants, exact same program. They're letting you know, we're in charge, bitch. You let us in, it's over. Just play a bunch back to back.
To the Western leaders, your borders are fading. Your disease is being sucked out, and the unity of the Islamic Brotherhood is taking form. The sons of Islam have already pledged that this battle is a battle of either victory or martyrdom. We reject your flags, and the call for jihad has started, and it won't be long before it is you that will be feasted upon.
I want to remind us tonight in this great conference that we're here for a reason. I don't believe that it's an accident that all Muslims from around the world are here in the United States of America. You Muslims, individuals, I'm talking to each one of you, every one of you, brothers and sisters, to get this, that my responsibility to come here is not just to get a good job, not just to get a profession, not just to make money. Yes, do that. Get a good job, a profession, education, get all of that. But in the back of your mind, it must be to deliver the mission. And we got to spread this message to the American people. That's our job. We, as Muslims, must begin to challenge the status quo. You have to change the laws. She became the first Muslim in New York City, traffic control, wearing full hijab. She set the precedent. Others came after her. Why? Because she challenged the existing law. If you study all the great prophets, they never gave in. But they challenged the status quo. We have to start challenging the status quo. This is your choice. You go there and say, listen, I want a gas station, but I don't want to sell alcohol. Don't make me sell alcohol.
this is applicable only in an Islamic state and not in this country? How do I convince them that it is a universal law?
No.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was total darkness, and the light began to change because the Prophet alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam in his ummah began to implement step by step and step by step until we had everything.
And now, I have maps here. There are Sharia law courts in every major city, including Austin, Texas, where when something happens, they don't go to our courts, they go to their courts. They got their own police cars, everything, their own communities, everything. And then they come and they take over your city council and they blare at 5 a.m. their dominance, their call to prayer. And they have prayer rooms in the public schools, but don't you wear a cross around your neck as a Christian. And they're allied with the left. Islamists vote like 98% with Democrats. Same thing in Europe with leftists. They're allied because they hate the West. And both are vying for control. They'll fight each other later. The left aren't thinking long term. Now here's Hamburg, Germany. Again, for every clip I play you, I have dozens all over Australia. They're protesting Christmas. Oh, you pray at a baseball game? We hear you're praying. The guy's shot a video. We're going to kill this coach. He prays. You don't pray to Jesus. That's idolatry. We're going to kill you. And it goes on and on. Here's Hamburg, Germany. Islamists is protesting, and you know they got to put up all the barriers around the Christmas trees because they're going to run you over with trucks. Here they are. Criticize it in Germany in any way, you get arrested. I have articles coming up on that. So here's England. If the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy could see England as today, they wouldn't have gone 40 yards up the beach. And the oldest World War II vet alive has said the same thing. Now notice how this crowd acts. It's everywhere. They're just running around, in many cases with knives, machetes, threatening police. They go to the parks, have videos. You bring your dog to the park, it's dead. It's unclean. You don't bring your dog in the edge of our Muslim neighborhood. Then you move out because you're being threatened by these Muslims. They take over and expands. It's a Muhammad plan. And as long as you bow down to it, he wins. You stand up to Muhammad like the Crusades, he fails. They took Spain. We took them 500 years to take it back. We're going to take it all back. I declare the new crusade starts now. In the information war, the culture war. I will not be conquered by this. What about you? Here's a clip. Hundreds of videos out of the UK where if you silently pray, you get arrested because the Muslims don't like it. And then the police tell people, you can't have your dog at the park. No, they don't like it. Here's Irving, Texas a few days ago. This Muslim gathering was in Irving, Texas, in the city where two Sharia law courts are operating, already ruling over 300 cases. Do you understand how serious the Islam situation is in America? Here's the clip. Foreign armies we brought in. Here's a clip out of Dearborn, Michigan. And then let's just cut to what's happening in France. Afghans running around breaking, smashing everything. I have footage of them smashing and burning churches, breaking, attacking Catholic bookstores, anything with a cross on it.
The police just stand down. Go ahead and play those clips back to back. We're in, we're taking over, they're dumb, we'll have all their women, it's over for them. Here's the Afghans running around going crazy in Paris. People out. They're destroying the neighborhood, throwing garbage everywhere. Here's a clip in Africa. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are being mass slaughtered by Islamists in Nigeria and all over the place. Boko Haram, you name it. Let me cut to Australia. What's going on there? Go ahead and play those clips. All the mass graves for the Christians. They were in a church, this particular event.
You would think this is the Middle East. You would think.
That's Australia, New Zealand, Canada.
This has to be reversed. You would have never seen this 20, 30 years ago. Italy.
Ireland, everywhere.
I mean, it's imperative we were first on this.
All right, let's stop there. Now, I got a bunch of clips of Muslim leaders and others explaining this is the Muslim Brotherhood, Saudi Arabians, you name it, saying, you understand, we don't want them in the country. These are the real jihadis. We don't want a war with you. You say that whether it's real or not, they're being legitimate. I don't know. But they're even saying countless clips, you need to watch out. Here's a clip.
After the recent ban of Muslim Brotherhood in Jordan, I have a message to Western countries that still hosts the Brotherhood leaders and members. It's a message from those who know. The Muslim Brotherhood is not just a political movement. It is the ideological mother of some of the deadliest terrorist groups in the modern world. Since its founding, the Brotherhood has been crystal clear about its mission. Not reform, but domination. Not coexistence, but conquest. Throughout its history, violence has followed. In 1948, Brotherhood members assassinated Egyptian Prime Minister Mahmoud al-Nuqrashi. In 1979, their Syrian branch massacred 83 military cadets in the Aleppo Artillery School, targeted simply for belonging to the Alawite minority. In 1982, their uprising in Hama, Syria, triggered a battle that left tens of thousands dead. And in the 90s, Brotherhood ideologies inspired Al-Qaeda and other jihadi groups that carried out attacks across the Middle East and beyond. Yet, despite this bloody history, many Western countries still host Brotherhood leaders, treating them as moderates, allowing them to spread their ideology under the cover of religious freedom. This is a mistake, a deadly mistake. Europe, America, and the free world must understand the Muslim Brotherhood does not respect democracy. They use it until they are strong enough to replace it. Extremists do not come offering peace. They come offering destruction, first for their declared enemies and then for the societies that gave them shelter. If you do not heed the warnings from Egypt, Jordan, Israel, and others who have seen the true face of the Brotherhood, you could be next. God forbid. History has already written the warning. Now the question is, will you listen? Extremism thrives when good people stay silent.
No, you are in a crisis. You went to the Muslim countries and you imported the garbage that the Muslim countries wanted to put in prison or isolate away from society. You went and you imported them. Why? For cheap labor. But these Islamist extremists, they don't want to work. They want free welfare. They want to marry French women, blonde hair, blue eyes. They don't have time to work. So look at Poland. They don't complain from Islamic extremism, not a single terrorist attack in Poland. The moment they sense there's a problem, they crack down on it. Polish policy, beautiful. The French, no, come. When they come, they use the resources. They go to Washington, D.C., and they sit in Congress. They support the Iranian regime. They go against the sanctions in Congress, right, with their hijab. Why? Because the ideology is filth to begin with. When you import that, or you allow it in, or you amplify it, or you glorify it in any way, you make your bed, sleep in it.
And I have countless Saudi leaders in their government saying the same thing they for 10 years. They're like, listen, we don't want jihad. We want to invest. We want a space age. We got all this money and power. We don't need to have a war. You could say they got some long game. Maybe they're bad. Whatever. The point is they've been saying, don't bring these people in. And Germany, England, none of them will deport people that have huge criminal records of murder, you name it, back in Saudi Arabia. Because Saudi Arabia will throw them in prison or kill them. You ought to watch Saudi TV. They're like, Europe's insane. Come on. Because they want business, folks. They want to work with Trump. I'm not saying they're perfect, but I'm saying compared to this, because they can see where this is going to go. They can know, God, we're going to get a crusade out of this. We're going to get smashed. Yeah. You go, oh, well, Israel's corrupt, got problems too. Yeah. The point is, you can't just go, oh, now I'm for the Muslim Brotherhood. That's literally cancer. So we haven't gotten to America yet. I've only covered 10% of it. I wanted to show you the trend around the world that's a few years ahead of us before we get to America. The calls to prayer, attacking people, setting up Sharia law, murdering, killing, stabbing to drive you out of the neighborhoods. The Muslim leaders, the city council saying, you're Christian, you're not welcome here, get out. It's all Muhammad. It's the playbook. And the smarter Muslims can figure this out and go, we got nuclear weapons now and all the rest of this stuff's got to stop. Or maybe they got some other plan. I'm just saying that it is the Muslims, a lot of the country, saying, no, don't do this, because they can see where this is going. It's so dangerous. I'll play a few more clips then. J6 pipe bomber info, new info drop, biggest ever, total inside job.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Well, the morning passed so quickly, it's time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not clear leather, for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip.
Big iron on his hip.
Big iron on his hip.
Big iron!
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered around. Body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger.
All right, I'm going to do a whole deep dive. I started it, but it's so huge. I think I'll have 10 times more by then. It's just insane. So here's Dearborn, Michigan. I can play you an hour of call to prayers in dozens of cities, including Texas, and Muslims going into stores and saying, how dare you sell beer and get in everybody's face. And people are like, what is this? This is the Islamic plan. This is what Orthodox Islam does. And the Saudis and the Jordanians are like, we're going to have a big war with the West. We need this. Let's stop this. Doesn't matter. The Muslim Brotherhood that Obama backs is a runaway train. And now they've hit 5, 10% in Europe, the U.S., and Canada. It's on, folks. So now they're about to do their intimidation. They're doing it. They're, get out of here if you're a Christian. Get out of here. And the women are all Stockholm syndroming over. It's scary. So here's a call to prayer in Dearborn, Michigan a few days ago. And then that ties into, we're supposed to forget about this, the baseball shooting. And they shot videos of their car saying, yeah, this guy prays to God before his game. We're going to kill you. So they go shoot the baseball coach in Houston. Barely hit the news. And again, for every clip I show you, I got 100 more, literally. It's so horrible. It's indescribable. Here it is. So starting at 5 a.m. until midnight, they blare this five times a day, call a prayer, to bow to Mecca. And the left in the last 30 years got all the church bells. I remember when I was a little kid in Dallas. And we'd be out in the playground. It'd be noon. I hear bong, bong, bong. So pretty. I liked it.
Breaking news, guys.
All banned.
Three guys were charged with shooting a baseball coach at a minor league game in Katy, Texas, while he was doing his pregame prayer. And no big surprise, they're all Muslim. And they all decided that because this guy was exercising his right in the United States of America to pray before a baseball game, they decided to do target practice. Thankfully, he lived, he was airlifted, and he...
And it goes on and on. And I have the maps here. 43 mosques have opened up in Texas just the last 24 months. A bunch of them are practicing Sharia law. Let's show that graphic. I got the numbers out of the England. I got the Islamic doomsday clock. I got them forced marrying 9-year-olds. I got them threatening to kill anybody's dogs that are on the street. I got the British police arresting people that criticize it. I got it all. In fact, I got a lot more. So this is just an opening salvo. War has been declared on the West of Christianity. I accept the challenge. And again, I was against these wars of the globalists to go bomb and destroy the Middle East and open our borders up to them. We got to fight them over there instead of fighting them here. The plan was blow them up, bring them here all pissed off. It's all the globalists. They're the main enemy. So the average Muslim wants to not be part of this. That's great. We got to figure out some way to be clear about that. You can practice your faith, whatever. The thing is, we're not going to submit. We're not bowing down. And if you want a war, you got one. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Say in public that Alex Jones is the most extraordinary person I've ever met.
I'll tell you, that f***ing guy is right about a lot of shit.
Alex Jones has been right a lot of times.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
Fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
AlexJones.network is tomorrow's news today.
All right, so there's a paradox in the world, and I'm the biggest example of it. So when I say this, I'm not criticizing you. I'm the worst at this. Because I know something, and I've covered it so many times, I have this mental thing where I don't want to cover it again because I already know it. Like I covered Building 7 being blown up, and the CIA and the neocons and Mossad and 9/11 so much, and made films and wrote books and covered it forever, that, like, now to even get back into it is like, it's like covering Islam's invasion. It's so big. It's so evil. It's so huge. You feel like you're covering up unless you do 5 hours on it. At least that's how my brain works. Because I want to show you the proof. I want to put this stuff on trial. But the average American in polls doesn't care about J6. The Democrats tried to make it their big event. They had a plan to trick people to kidnap Pelosi and do a bunch of stuff that didn't work. They had Antifa putting on, caught on tape, Trump gear and going in, and they had 274 FBI they admit, and they lied about it and perjury, bare minimum, and they had NGOs, and they had all the other groups there. And within a month or so of it happening, we're like, oh, yeah, the feds planted pipe bombs, Capitol Police. We already had leakers. We already knew. And then Pelosi video came out with her daughter admitting it was all a setup. They denied the National Guard. They arrested thousands of people, little old ladies walking through the velvet ropes. Yeah, we all know about this. They tried to put me in prison. They tried to say I was the mastermind of it. They put my co-host, Owen Schroer, in prison. And then we saw the images of the pipe bombs four years ago. We got instant leaks. Those are FBI training
pipe bombs. That's what they use in their training drills. And then it comes out that it's a Capitol Police officer who's now CIA, and they come out 2 weeks ago, oh, it's all made up, we're going to sue everybody, it's not her, and then nothing so far. Notice? But we always knew from the witnesses and the footage we did have, because the big developments just happened in the last 24 hours, that they say they've got two pipe bombs, and the cops walk back in front of them. They let kids walk right in front of it. They don't cordon it off. That's not what a bomb squad does. That's not what a bomb. You didn't even send a bomb squad. But now the Blaze and their great reporter has released new footage they've got of specifically officers showing up many hours after the reported Capitol Police officers there with the mask and the hoodie, where they'd put the bomb and moved it, and then where they put the other bomb. And they're just walking along, go right where it's at. They're not worried it's going to blow up. They know it's there. This is smoking gun stuff. But the bigger story for me is we've had the DOJ and FBI running defense on this, contacting reporters, you name it, I'll leave it at that, reporters I work with saying, oh, no, no, it's somebody else, we're about to release it, don't look over here. Bottom line, the Capitol Police, who dressed up like Trump supporters, broke in, had fake arrest on camera where they take the handcuffs off, high-five them, they ran this. And they got orders to do this. And this is coming out. So, Joseph McBride is the first lawyer and person to get raw footage out of the Capitol release. The first to expose much of what I just talked about. It was just almost a few days ago. McBride Law NYC, McBrideNYC.com. And so this is a huge new development because, yeah, you know that it was a Fed insurrection, but the public in general doesn't trust it, but wait till this comes out. How are they going to cover this up? How are they going to deal with this? Because now we have the receipts. So massive success here. Great job to Steve Baker and Joseph M. Hinneman. And I know they're in a information blockade at the Blaze right now because there's so much heat on this. I understand that. But, I mean, this is cut and dry. I was told this by Army Special Operations, FBI sources, within a month of J6, I was there. I was told all this, Capitol Police, Pelosi, all of it, they ran it, pipe bomb, all that. And I remember Dr. Beatty, who's now a top advisor to Trump, was previously. We had private conversations, that he was working on this years ago, it was coming out. So we've known this for a while, but now we have the total proof. A, what happened with the new information, B, how does the system cover this up? Because even if people in the FBI and DOJ try to suppress this, Trump is going to learn about this. If I have to, I'll get on the phone. He knows this targeted him in America. So I don't see how the genie gets put back in the bottle here. Joseph McBride has put the tip of the spear on this. That's a long introduction. Where should we start first?
Well, Alex, there's no putting the genie back in the bottle here. We are well beyond the point of it even attempting to cover anything up. Look, what did the Biden DOJ do and the Biden FBI do? It worked with the American public. It worked with online sleuths, Capitol Hunters, Jan6.com, Sedition Hunters. This was an army of online sleuths and citizen journalists that gave over footage, that gave over identification, face technology to the FBI, to work with the FBI, to inform the FBI as to every MAGA grandma and grandpa and little kid who went to the Capitol on J6. The FBI then subsequently used all of that information from your common American citizen in their investigations, and the DOJ certainly used them in their prosecutions. The Trump FBI needs to do the same thing. They need to rely on the good faith of the informed populace, the tech-savvy populace of the American public to expose, to to undo what has been done. This is another layer to the onion that's been peeled back. We see on this new video that was just released that we know that the pipe bomber went to the DNC, looked under a bush, said, maybe I'll put the bomb here, I'm paraphrasing, and then went and put it under a bench. Then we know the next day, within 15 minutes of getting the call, the police show up, they look under the same bush, and they go to the same bench, and they recover the bomb.
Let's be clear. They get out of their cars and magically, like they had geolocation, walk right to it.
Right to it, Alex. So they're either clairvoyant, and they are related to Nostradamus, or they're in on it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. You don't need to be Elon Musk to do the deductive reasoning here. It's commonsensical. So look, we know that they were in on it. Not everybody who's at the Capitol Police is a bad person, but there are some bad apples who were working with the intelligence community and who were working with the enemies of America to do harm.
Well, that's like the main suspect, the Capitol Police lady. She now works the CIA.
She works at the CIA. That's not a coincidence. Yolanda Pittman, who was helping run what was going on with the Capitol Police that day, has been working at Berkeley in Pelosi's backyard since January 6th. They take care of their people. This is not a hard breadcrumb trail to follow. But Cash Patel, Donald Trump, the United States government, it's a new administration. They're in a position of power now to work with the American public to get the bad apples, to hunt them down, and
sure,
to
and
do the right
thing.
Sure,
and I know you don't want to cause fights with people, and I get it. I want them to do their job, too. But this, they already had this. They already know all this. So the fact is, the fact that independent groups have to leak all this is not a good sign.
No, it's not a good sign. But what do we know? Look, I've been around enough people in government and federal government and different types of bureaucracies, and so have you, Alex, to know that the vast majority of them are very unimpressive people. You have just this gigantic machine that's divided. It doesn't function well. There's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of
dissent. It's a dysfunctional blob.
It very much is so, and somebody needs to take control. Look, Donald Trump can't do everything. We spoke about this the other day. He delegates authority, right? The people that he delegates authority to have to take control. They have to act, and they have to use the command structure and the chain of command to give specific orders. Look, we want this done, and we want it done yesterday. Now, to your point, why hasn't it come out already? Why hasn't it been taken care of if they've been in possession of this information for so long? I don't know. I don't have a good answer to it. It's profoundly disappointing. But we all know about it now. So now is the time to put up or shut up. They have to say something about it. I saw that Cash Patel made an appearance today around 11 o'clock Eastern with Pam Bondi to talk about some other good work that they're doing, drug kingpins and all that stuff. Look, that's great, and we expect that from the FBI. But what we want to know about is what happened during the military coup, during the time when the election was stolen, during a time when the good faith American patriots went down to the Capitol and objected to the stolen election and was subsequently put in jail for their political beliefs. We want that remedied. We want that taken care of. That is part of Donald Trump's promise to the American people. Cash Patel and Dan Bongino have to deliver on that. And if they can't, then the president needs to clean house, Alex.
Well, I agree with what you said a few days ago. This is the litmus test. This is the Rubicon. It's a line in the sand.
It very much is. Where do we go from here? If the Trump FBI can't fix this, then where do we go from here? There's nowhere to go but down. This is the time. If, you know, look, the American populace, our confidence in our government is at an all-time low. Our government is in a unique position to restore that confidence with the work on this case. All we want is the truth, and they owe us a moral duty, an ethical duty, and according to the oath that they swore to the Constitution, to uphold and protect and defend the citizens of this country.
And let's talk about how that would work. I mean, we know Pelosi, she got caught on tape, blocked the National Guard, had Antifa, had the feds, staged the deal, feds arrested. So we bring out who the police are. They come in and sing like canaries. It goes right up to the head of the Capitol Police. It goes right up to Pelosi. And then we have them staging Jan 6. It destroys them all. Right here is the keys to victory, caught red-handed. Plus, I was there. I witnessed it. I mean, this is so simple.
I agree with you, but what do we know about D.C.? The president calls it the swamp for very good reason. Everybody's got so much on everybody else that when it really comes to, when it comes time to hold other people accountable, what do? They open up the book of garbage that they have on somebody else.
So you just got a bunch of cowards and compromised people. Well, we should say amnesty to people for, you know, any crime but murder or whatever. Trump should offer an amnesty for whistleblowers.
I agree 100%. It's the right thing to do. It's the just thing to do. It's the only thing to do. Amnesty and even a reward for doing the right thing in this situation.
Better, exactly. Not just amnesty, not just a pardon, but a reward.
Yes. Incentivize people, because there's a very substantial degree of likelihood that if somebody comes out and says, I'm a whistleblower, we know this, it's happened, that they will blow the whistle and the bureaucracy in D.C. won't do anything about it, but that person's life will get wrecked. They'll get debanked. They'll get canceled. And
by the way, we see that. All these whistleblowers come out for no money and get annihilated, destroyed. We need to celebrate whistleblowers to encourage more to do it.
100%. But, you know, one of the first whistleblowers I ever saw in my life was you when you were talking to David Gergen a long time ago about the Bohemian Grove. And we all know the penalty that came with that, Alex. It's not an easy thing. But we have a man in power and we have an administration in power now that can do what we're talking about. It can protect. It can reward. It can get to the bottom of it. But we need to hear something. We haven't heard anything affirmatively from the president yet. So, Mr. President, I hope that you're going to say something about this investigation, and I hope that the people who are underneath you are going to do the right thing. And if they're not going to do the right thing, if they're blocking you, if they're not carrying out your will or the will of the American people, then you need to fire them and put the right people in there, because we only have a small window of time under which this job can get done.
Exactly. This brings them all down. This is so, for people that don't know, I mean, most of you, I said, but kind of recap J6. You were the first guy to get raw footage out. The latest stuff that came out, people say, oh, you know, we did this gate analysis. It's this woman who was shooting the crowd first and who testified. You know, she's a big leftist. They go, oh, that's not her. She's going to go public. You're wrong. But now that kind of went away. Now more information comes out showing the Capitol Police clearly involved, whoever they are. This problem is only getting bigger. Like you said 10 minutes ago, this ain't going away.
No, this ain't going away. Look, the good people at the Blaze, Steve Baker, Joe Hanneman, they're doing good work there with the available budget and technology that they have to work this case. The unlimited budget of the federal government can confirm or deny the findings very easily. The government needs to work with these guys. They're good. They're proceeding in good faith. They've been investigating this stuff for 5 years since day one. And that is the quickest and surest way to make sure the job gets done. And we also know that around, right, contemporaneously with the events that took place at the Capitol, that there were three persons of interest. And one of those persons of interest is her next door neighbor. Right? This isn't just like some feather they pulled out of a cap or some rabbit out of a hat and said, oh, it's her after all this time. The investigation took us almost to her front door, and then they killed it. They put the kibosh on it early on. And now after all this time, by using this technology, we're back to the same front door, the same block, 10 feet away from where she lives. Look, it's worth discussing. It's worth investigating. It's worth publishing the findings, saying this is the technology, this is the gate analysis.
No, I agree, but regardless, we already had this 4 or 5 years ago, the other footage that kids are walking by where the bombs are, the cops aren't scared. Clearly, it's by this, you know, this Democrat meeting place. Look, stage, we had the intel. But now to have them show up, huge areas, walk right to the bombs, And all of this, I mean, it's just too, it's like they're screwed now.
It's true. And Alex, you know, the enemies of democracy, the people who want to silence us, do not care about women and do not care about children. They blew off JFK, they shot JFK in front of everybody. They shot Charlie Kirk in front of young college kids on camera for the whole world, women, children, old people to see, the whole nine yards. They don't care at all. Right. Their objective is to do one thing and one thing alone. Advance the agenda of the deep state, advance the anti-American agenda, and cripple this country and make it as weak as possible, with no expense spared or no person or no concern for any person. And look, we're seeing this again now. What we need is a full court press, a comprehensive investigation. The line is in the sand. The time is now. This cannot be swept under the rug. We cannot be 1 month, 2 months from now going, what the hell is going on? We must demand accountability. We need to talk about this every day until we get results. I know Brianna Murillo, who works with you and for you over there, every day she tweets, today is November 20th, 2025, and not a single person has been arrested from the Biden administration. How is that possible? What is going on? This is one of the primary reasons why we elected this administration. Look, President Trump's doing a good and a great job all over the place. You know, win or lose on the tariffs, I think it's a good idea. International relations with other countries is working out well. Domestic policy, things are going great. The economy's doing good. You got to do this, right? Everything else is great, but this is the thing that we all want. This is what's nearest and dearest to our hearts.
That's right. If you don't take down the deep state, you haven't done the job. Plus is what people want. So I can't, like you said, there's no way to cover this up now. More and more is coming out. What do you expect the deep state to do to try to obfuscate this?
Well, they're going to try to discredit the information. They'll do hit pieces on everybody who's involved, and they'll go after any politician who's even remotely supporting the idea that the Capitol Police was involved. I think my hope is, in addition to President Trump, that we need to hear something quite affirmative also from J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is likely going to be the next presidential nominee from our party. We need to know from him, and I believe that he will do it because he's a patriot and he loves this country very much. We need to hear that he's going to carry this torch, that even if this investigation goes all the way into his administration, that he's going to carry the torch, that he's going to say, we will leave no stone unturned in pursuit of America's enemies, whether they are at home or abroad. And this is an at-home situation. Now, I certainly hope that this gets taken care of now. But what we need is a unified front from our party. And what do we know about the Democrats? They're unified all the time. What do we know about the Republicans? We can't get our act together for anything. This is one of those things, like the Epstein files, that should unite us all. And there's no reason that everybody in Congress shouldn't be talking about this until something happens.
Let me ask you this. I mean, we know they had the National Guard blocked to block Trump, and we could have overridden it, and he didn't. And we know they dressed up and broke in, and we know the Capitol's were heavily involved. But just speculating here, what were the pipe bombs for if they were duds? What were they planning? Why didn't they go ahead and do the false flag? Or I guess it's speculation. I mean, what were the Capitol Police doing with these bombs?
So, you know, it's enough to divert resources in the wrong direction and allow people to infiltrate the Capitol. That's number one. Number two, the Capitol Police, for some reason, were at half staff that day.
Yeah, they sent half of them to traffic control.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And number three, if there's some type of terrorist event happening, your constitutional protections for people who are involved and the government's ability to do what it needs to do goes to emergency level status. And they're able to do things and take actions that they ordinarily would not have been able to take. And I believe that they took those actions that day to protect the op and to protect their people in the crowd and not to protect the American people. The whole thing stinks to high heaven. We all know that that it was a setup since day one. They took down fences hours before people showed up. People were up against the Capitol peacefully protesting, and then our own Capitol Police force attacked the people who were there.
Reportedly, the Capitol Police woman that planted the bombs, the suspect, alleged, if it's that woman is the first person they say that took shots at people.
I have personally reviewed footage of that officer with the crowd control device in her hand where she's pointing it into the crowd at people. We don't know if she was the first one, but if she was the first one, that would just be another circumstantial evidence piece of information that confirms her likely involvement. Look, she should say something, or her lawyer should say something, or the government should say something. But the fact that we're getting the silent treatment here tells me everything that I need to know. which means that there are still people operating within these law enforcement agencies that hate this country, that hate this president, and who are hiding about what happened. And we need to put the full court press on them, put the boot on their neck until this job is done. Because if we don't get it done now, it's never going to get done.
100%. Joseph McBride, stay there. We got Kyle Seraphim with breaking news joining you. We'll go all coast together. The trifecta straight ahead. Joseph McBride, stay with us. We'll be right back. And Kyle Seraphim. This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at thealexshowstore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra Methylene Blue and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is supposed to be a shutdown. They have a state receiver. Said it'd be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Jones Network, and we will continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's thealexjonesstore.com. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide.
Hey, Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take 2 of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant and immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. And so as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic,
It's Alex Jones.
I really appreciate attorney investigator Joseph McBride joining us right at the tip of the spear in this, along with Carl Serafin. And Carl Serafin joins us now. I mean, here's what it comes down to. I was there. I've been covering it for 4.5, 5 years. We know it was a Fed insurrection. We know it was a setup. And it was supposed to be way worse. Then you got these pipe bombs, and you've got, you know, the police now and the new footage out. We already had a lot of that before, treating it like it wasn't even a real bomb. Now they go right where they're at. This is a big deal, because if you bring this out, and if it turns out up the chain of command who gave these orders, this brings down the whole system. So I want to go back to Joseph McBride here in a moment, but Carl Serafin, who I twist his arm to come on with us right now, you said weeks ago when this information from the Blaze came out, investigative reports, it was this Cap police officer who's now CIA. They're like, oh, no, you know, it's not her. You said, no, it's another government cover-up. That just points to the current FBI that's continuing this on. But now with this new information coming out, it being picked up even by mainstream news, bombshell twist, potential CIA link to pipe bomb mystery since shockwaves through the probe, this is not going away. Just like saying Epstein killed himself and all of that. Now, this is a big deal. So, Carl Serafin, you got all the different details. You do great at picking everything apart. But big picture, this thing is falling apart right now for the establishment.
All right. So, the big picture is, real simply, two Capitol Police officers who were part of the counter-surveillance unit were dispatched to go find any other explosives that may have been left. For people to understand the timeline, the first one was found behind the RNC or the Capitol Hill Club. So that's pipe bomb number one. And they said, well, let's go look for and make sure there's not another bomb out there. They sent out a series of police officers from Capitol Police, and they were sent out in pairs. One of those pairs parked at the Capitol South Metro Station, went directly to the same exact bush, the only bush that they could have gone to, where the previous night a pipe bomber had been 77 seconds sitting on the ground. So as people watch this footage, this is what's called person of interest number one, the hooded figure, the pipe bomber, who walks up to a bush and sits there. What you're seeing on the screen right now on the top right-hand side is that bush in the daylight. You're seeing on the left-hand side a blown-up picture of it, and then in the middle or on the right-hand side, you have the actual side of the footage. The pipe bomber, the hooded figure, dropped down, eventually sat down by this bush for about 77 seconds and seems to be rummaging through a backpack and attempts to place something underneath that bush. It's not the greatest footage, but it is what it is. What happens later on is two Capitol Police officers park their car, which they drove lights and sirens to get to. They park at the metro station. They walk directly to that bush and they go past it and they look under it. Then they wait a few seconds, then they walk past it and look under it again, like, where is it? It's supposed to be there. Then they retrace their steps and end up at the exact place where the pipe bomb actually was found. And in under 12 minutes from being deployed completely randomly in Washington, D.C., they found the bomb. That's the first look right there. That's your counter-surveillance unit on the screen. They walk past it. They go and they end up behind the signage there. You can see that there's a like a traffic signal. And so they're blocked off on the left-hand side just above where the flashing lights are. They're going to wait a few more seconds. They kind of take a pause, and then they go look. And you're going to see in a blown-up image, one of these two ends up looking not just at the bush, but under the bush, cocks his head, stops completely, and is like, where is this thing? Now, the belief is, by the guys who are doing this investigation, that the original placement of this particular pipe bomb was a break. The pipe bomber set it down there, and it broke. There he goes and looks again, and there you see the inset on the footage. And if it broke right there, then it was actually recovered by the pipe bomber, put back in a backpack, walked over to its final resting place at the DNC, and that's where it went. There's an infographic that went along with this, but this is literally years now of an internet investigator and the folks over at the Blaze doing this work, tracking this person, first the pipe bomber, and then following, well, where the hell are those guys that went and found it? And how long did it take them to do it? I would say that if you could find a pipe bomb in Washington, D.C. that's randomly under a random bush or sitting next to a park bench in under 12 minutes, you should replace the canines. You're better than anybody. And so this,
well, I was about to say, for radio listeners, they don't see it. I've been to the area. It's bushes and park type stuff everywhere. So it's like just randomly, yeah. You just walk over, and she'd first been there and then leave. So you go to the first spot. Then they check, oh, it's over here. and randomly walk like bloodhounds right to where it's at.
That's exactly right. And the question is, and I put it out online, and of course people are not stupid. The audience gets it. You put it on social media and you say, well, how do they know where to look? How do they know what bush to go to? And Alex, everybody just goes, well, they read the ops plan. So that's the answer, that they were in on some of this. The question has always been, how do you connect Capitol Police? Because this was the big problem with the story that they had when Steve Baker went out and announced the name of a Capitol Police officer named Shawnee Kirkhoff. They said, well, how do you connect Capitol Police to it in the first place? You connect it because Capitol Police officers found the bombs and they went directly to that bush. Of all the bushes in all the world, in all of Washington, D.C., they went to that one right away like bloodhounds, as you said, and then turned away once they realized, like, after a second look, it wasn't there. They turned away and then went directly to it, and it's under 12 minutes. It's like 11 minutes and 40 seconds or something. They were able to find this thing. That's not only statistically improbable. I would say it's impossible. Having worked in counter-surveillance stuff, walking around in Washington, D.C., there are bushes everywhere. As you said, this is a nice place. They're all landscaped. So all of that is crazy, and the odds are astronomical. And then it just turns out that a Capitol Police officer lived next door to the subject that I was surveilling just 1 week after January 6th. And I'll just tell you guys, if you ask me how long would it take the FBI to find somebody starting completely cold on a brand new case, a week is a pretty good amount of time for them to be able to identify somebody in the right vicinity of. Maybe they get the landlord of that person, maybe they get the neighbor, but it happens that about a week is how long it takes to run down somebody. Boston Marathon bombing was about 5 days. Charlie Kirk story, about three. You know, depending on how much you have to go on, a week from a complete dead stop is what I would expect of the FBI. And then it completely goes cold for 5 years.
So there's a couple big pieces here. They don't get out of this now. It's obvious to the general public. So you have the operation run of the Democrats clearly before. Now you have the FBI that had all this info and them currently, you know, obviously sitting on it and running defense behind the scenes trying to get us to stop talking about it. And then where does this go? So we have who's actually guilty? Why won't the current people in the administration go after him? And then where do you see it going? Let's both of you go ahead.
I'll sit for a second. I want to hear.
Joseph McBride.
So, well, we look at this from the top down. We know that Nancy Pelosi stood in the way of President Trump getting the National Guard there. We know that the Capitol Police were mismanaged and were half-staffed that day. We know that the fences were taken down. We know that the pipe bomber put the pipe bomb there beforehand. This is coordination. This is collusion. This is a top-down, from the top all the way to the bottom. We know that this is what's going on. Now, what is the unfortunate reality about government? The unfortunate reality about government and about institutions is that they historically take care of themselves, that they put themselves and they put the machine above the American public. The whole point in getting President Trump back into office, quite frankly, time one and time two, was to undo that machinery, was to say that we have a man, we have a president who loves the American people above the machine, above the swamp, and he's willing to do whatever it takes. Now, I firmly believe that he is the man, but I have questions about the current FBI's administration, about the current DOJ. Do they have the stuff? Do they have the salt? Do they have the Constitution to set aside their pride, to set aside their institution, and to internally go after the people who are culpable and responsible? If those people are identified, they can be brought up on terrorism charges. There's no doubt about it. Obstruction of justice.
Exactly. And then their boss is above them. Well, exactly. So here's what I'm saying is, keep going, but this is just so crazy. I will tell the FBI this. If you want to reform yourself, do your job. People want to see the right thing done. Why have the new administration connect itself? But Kyle predicted this when Trump first got reelected. He said, no, the institutions will cover up for themselves. So, but regardless, if I was a cold-blooded, even evil person, I would say, no, the public wants revolution. I would give them what they want. It's like, this is stupid from every angle.
I agree with you, Alex. Look, when you look at what Cash Patel and what Pam Bondi are focused on right now, it's not this. They're doing other good work, saving children, nothing more important. Stopping drugs and fentanyl coming into our country, very important. But this is right up there because this strikes at the heart of our democracy, the heart of our ability
to function. The attempted coup they blamed on us. Well, you go back to Kyle Surfer, I totally agree. I remember Bongino was like, oh, J6 investigate. Now he's like, oh, I don't want to look at it. In fact, you've got the backstory on that. I mean, Bongino's like the guy that puts the fires out now.
Yeah, it's worse than that. I mean, these guys are actively obstructing. They created a whole new Twitter account called FBI Rapid Response, which hasn't responded in a couple of days, it turns out. And apparently the entire purpose of that was to put out fast information and be able to be flexible and, you know, respond to things. Well, how about you respond to the allegation that a member of the Capitol Police who now works at the CIA has been identified by the Blaze as the pipe bomber? That seems like a pretty important thing to address to the public. That's what I would think is relevant. And here's some other things. The boyfriend of that woman is a Capitol Police officer. Now, here's the backstory that doesn't make any sense. Again, I got assigned to a doorway to watch out and look for a person who was known as Person of Interest 3 in the pipe bomb summary that Loudermilk's committee put out. That's Barry Loudermilk.
And by the way, they put out disinfo claiming you weren't. Now they've had to admit you were. They're like, why serve in the middle of this? That's what they assigned you to. So that's how fate works.
Well, here's,
but that's confirmed you did this.
Well, yeah, that's the best part of it. They were out there and they were having the spin doctors try to say, well, Serafin's mistaken. If he said it, it must be untrue. No. There's documentation on everything the FBI does. Anyone who's ever worked with the FBI knows that the actual thing they teach you at the academy is if it's not written down, it didn't happen. It happened. It was written down. There's surveillance logs. They're out there.
Well, so people say, what do you know about J6? I was there. You were too. So just people saying, like, it's weird. We're there. No, we were there. Fate had that way.
So there were three people that were identified in these reports, and they were identified apparently by that way, but I don't recall that because what they do when they give us a target to do surveillance is they tell us a name, an address, a date of birth, a car, you know, they'll give us a license plate, and they say, go there and watch this person, and here's what we think they may have done, so see what you find. Take pictures, follow them around, do your thing. That's what we did, and I did this professionally for 3 years. So is it the most prestigious thing to do in the world? No, it's really like a patience exercise. But this one was extremely weird because we were there for only 2 days. I would say that the pipe bomb case of January 6th was maybe the most terroristic thing that could have happened. And it was one of the more terroristic things that happened in the terrorism world where I worked, because we watched a lot of like supposed terrorists. And when you watch the so-called terrorists, you expect them to do something terroristic, but they never had any bombs. They almost never had any guns. They usually were like some, you know, lonely guy who hung out in his mom's basement and ate Hot Pockets and, you know, put some racist memes up or something. So this was a real big deal. They pulled us in 2 days, and they pulled us away from someone that was identified as called person number 3. And so the story that the Blaze has identifies, the previous one talked about person number 3 being the house that we watched. Directly next door to person number 3 is the person that they've identified as their subject they think was the person that dropped the pipe bombs. And that makes a lot of sense when you realize that they also were looking at a person called person number 2. So for people who are listening from the outside and you're like, who the hell are these people? Person number 1 is the pipe bomber. That's what the FBI called him. Person number 2 was a person of interest that may have been an accomplice of the pipe bomber. And person number 3 was the door, the person who owned the house that we were sitting at. The story officially from Loudermilk's committee, which is recently clarified by the FBI, was that person number 2, the potential accomplice, was actually a guest staying with person number 3, who I was watching. And I sent your guys a picture that comes from the whistleblower disclosure that nobody else has. It's a couple of members of Congress and a couple of members of independent media have this. So there's a picture and it says, this is the one on the left. That is the person in the hood. It's grainy. It's a surveillance footage. It's pulled from some footage that came out of somewhere that the FBI was looking, and they identified this as person number 2. On the right hand side of the screen right now is the boyfriend of Shawnee Kirkhoff, who's also a Capitol Police officer. What the FBI came to believe is the person on the left, as you guys look at this, and I'm interested in your reaction too, that person is supposed to be a 62-plus-year-old man who's 5'10 or 5'11 and was visiting the Capitol from the South and hanging out with his friend.
No, he looks like he's about 33 years old and doesn't look like a 60-something-year-old man.
Doesn't look like anything like a 60-something-year-old man. Like, I mean, I'm already starting to get gray. I'm in my early 40s, so I don't know how – I don't know a lot of guys that are in their 60s that don't have some gray in their beard. And – you know, this is the claim that they made. That comes directly from the FBI's release.
Sure,
that
and we got to have you guys back. I know you're a very busy call with your show's exploding. You're batting 1,000, you know, so is Joseph McBride. We go to 5 after next segment. I know you guys got to go, and then JR takes over. But what about my other question, which is the big one, I think, here? I mean, this is case closed now. They're all over. It's ridiculously obvious. Correct me if I'm wrong. What do they do now to cover this up? I don't see what's going to happen now, because we're not going to shut up. I mean, folks, this is smoking gun stuff. We can talk about Kirk and weird stuff all day or Epstein all day. Those lead to dead ends. This is ridiculously obvious, or am I wrong?
I think you're right. I think there's no way you cover it up. And by the way they wanted to cover it up, they wanted to call it a training exercise. I'll throw it back to you guys, but they tried to call it a training exercise. There's no such thing as a training exercise.
You predicted that.
Yeah, of course. And here's the thing. We have this thing. It's a concept in psychology called illusory truth. If you repeat something enough, you believe it, including if you believe like the lie that you said, hey, the government's going to lie to us and tell us it's going to be a training exercise. And then you start saying that enough times that when they say, well, how are we going to cover this up? You're like, we could call it a training exercise. That's what I used to think it would be. So that's what these guys came up with. They actually had this plan.
Well, sometimes I think that's what they were trying to debunk. Is giving them ideas too.
The thing is, you can't call it a training exercise because every training exercise involves what's called deconfliction. And that's when you reach out to the other law enforcement
equities.
Let
everybody know. I'm not even a cop or FBI guy like you or a lawyer, but yeah.
That's right.
You tell everybody we're doing a drill. I mean, you know, you don't do a drill.
And then the last part of
going to kill you.
It's super simple. You know that it's not a training exercise because 5 years later, they still have a $500,000 reward for the arrest, capture, and conviction of this person, and they didn't ever pull it and go, hey, our bad. We finally found the email that said it was a training exercise.
I've seen training exercises. When they do a bomb, they block the roads off.
That's right.
So what happens now, Joseph McBride?
It's an interesting question. My gut reaction thus far is they haven't addressed it. I wonder if they're just going to try to let it die. I suppose at some point they're going to, if their position is that they're not going to address it, they will just count on us punching ourselves out, that we're just going to run out of steam, that we're going to stop talking about it, that people like you are going to stop covering it, Alex, that Kyle will stop talking about it, other people will stop talking about it, it will become yesterday's news, it will become unimportant.
Okay, well, they had grand juries tried to indict me for this, and they put my co-host in prison, so I'm not letting it go.
Good, you shouldn't. You should never let it go. It should never be letting go. Look, we never let JFK go either, right? We still want answers for that. But this is, you know, the deep state in the United States government here who, quite frankly, doesn't admit any wrong. Look, there's a whole body of wrongful conviction litigation. People go to jail for 20, 30, 40 years and they get millions of dollars. And in those sentencing hearings, when the prosecutors and the government is clearly wrong, they don't even apologize. Their position when it comes to all of this is we're always right. We never say that we're wrong. Deal with it. And if you think we got it wrong, take us to court and sue us and you'll have to pay for that litigation to happen. Otherwise, sit down and shut up. Again, we got a good guy who loves this country named Donald Trump who leads this country right now. He's got to put his boot on the neck of people who are under him and say, get this done. Make this a top priority.
Well, I totally agree. That was my answer, but I want to hear from you and Kyle first. And I can get a hold of Trump. It'll get to him. But when Trump learns about this, and I've heard he's already heard about it, but hear about the stuff last week, he's going to go crazy. Kyle Serafin, because he knows they're trying to hang around his neck. Trump has got, this is a real litmus test for his DOJ and his FBI, isn't it, Kyle?
I would think so. And here's the thing he's got to realize. He campaigned on the idea, you know, that they're coming for you, but I'm the thing in the way. I don't think that was complete at the time. I think that there were a lot of J6ers that also took some of those bullets. And were there people that were in the crowd on January 6th that needed to go to jail and fought a cop and, you know, they brought pepper spray or whatever it was. Like they broke laws. There are certain people.
But in general,
that certainly
it was a
did
setup.
Wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But there were a lot of people that took like an unguided tour of the Capitol on that day, got involved in zero violence and they didn't cross anything that they didn't know they could cross. And then we had people lose their lives over this. They took their own lives, whether it be on the police side or whether it be on the actual, you know, so-called rioter side or the trespassers, as my buddy calls them, misdemeanor terrorists that walked around and they looked down the barrel of government prosecution and they said, I can't fathom going to prison. So I'm done. So families have been ripped apart. The trust of military veterans and law enforcement professionals and just regular people who paid their taxes for decades. It's been shattered. So Trump's got
to
come in and fix that
problem. They're trying to create a domestic terror purge off of this and this theology or this fable, this legend. To me, I'm sorry for all the victims, everybody, and I'm a victim too of it. But I mean, the bigger deal is it goes right to the top of the Democrats, the deep state. That's why I wanted is to bring them down. I mean, I'll just say it right now. I'll tell the victims I've supported people who are put in prison, supported their pardons, all of it. But for me, the big enchilada here is this could be the string that pulls the whole sweater apart, right?
one would think, let me add this little thought and you guys reflect on this maybe. Whenever we look at the way that wars are fought, one of the major critiques that people have of generals is that they're always trying to fight this war with tactics that were successful in that war. In other words, whatever used to work, that's what they, so we're always fighting the last war in the current war until we get up to speed. And the war on terror was no exception to that. So a lot of people who understand how that plays, they're using old tactics. I actually think they're doing the same thing in the narrative war and the media war right now. They're hoping that they can squash this, like Joseph just said, that they can just ignore it and let us punch ourselves out, or that the leaving the oxygen away from the fire is going to make it go away. And they released the story on Amelia Earhart the other day and her last known transmissions, like somehow that's going to placate people and they're going to go and like cats after the laser pointer. They're going to go after the shiny dot on the ground. And that's not the media environment we're in right now. And that's not the American people. We have a very fast-paced, but also a really diligent group of people that are not going to just say, well, you said the F-15 files are no big deal, so we're done with them. Nope. It's not on Fox News, so it's over. Nope. There are so many independent journalists. There are so many people that have independent streams of information.
Anymore.
You cannot get away from people's interest, and they will find that thread. And this one is not going to go away. The pipe bomb story has always been ridiculous. They found grandmas. They found dudes who had like a strange earlobe in Arkansas because he stood next to a flagpole, and they were able to put that guy in prison. But they can't find someone who left physical evidence, you know, theoretically viable explosive devices in the Capitol. I don't believe it. And no one else does either, because the FBI is not that incompetent. They never have been.
Yeah. Now, the owner of Bigley is Nate Hughes. He literally tried to save a woman that were beating to death. They admitted it. And then he got, you know, he got pardoned by Trump. They found him off his earlobe because he was wearing a mask.
It's unbelievable. One of the good things about the time that we live in, and this was evidenced during the January 6th saga, was before we really got those tapes released, it was just the old quintessential, the media proffering a one-sided narrative to the public that this was an insurrection, that this is what happened, so on and so forth. After we got the first three-hour block of video footage out there, and then more video came, the American citizens, social media people took up arms. And what do I mean by that? They fought a guerrilla warfare on the internet against the mainstream media by popping up on Twitter, by popping up on Instagram, by popping up on Facebook and posting clips everywhere, making the truth unignorable, making the truth so viral, so overwhelmingly in your face that the mainstream media and that the government was forced to confront it. And that's the only way
the left tried to motivate all their disinfo operatives, but we organically did it. What you're saying is it's the info war now. The people have to understand, I mean, out of all the investigations, Colin, am I wrong? And you too, Ms. McBride. I mean, this could bring down the whole Democratic Party. I mean, I bet they're sweating. I think it's clearly connected to Pelosi not running again. What do you think, Kyle?
I mean, there was a very incidental moment when Steve Baker said he was going to drop his story, and the next morning Nancy Pelosi said that she was going to retire. So that's worth knowing. The second thing is that the Capitol Police works for the Speaker of the House and also works for the Senate Majority Leader. So that's also relevant. Lastly, there was an update that was put out in January of this year, and I keep referring back to it because it's about 75 pages. It was put out by Barry Loudermilk's committee. Tom Massey was the subcommittee member on there. And I did a search this morning for the word unclear, because that's what they use. It's unclear why this thing happened. It's unclear how this investigation ended. It's unclear what happened to this particular lead. It's unclear, you know, what the FBI did on follow-up of this. It appears 14 times in that document. I'll put a Twitter thread out a little bit later that kind of gives people an insight of it. But some of the things that are unclear is how they didn't actually go after one particular ad ID that they were following, same stuff they use on the J6ers, that moved around Washington, D.C. They identified it by March. It's unclear what happened to that lead. There's a couple of other things that are unclear that they couldn't figure out. And then the last thing that I thought was very interesting is they tracked 186 cell phones, and they immediately excluded 51 of them because they were law enforcement or on the exclusion list. If the FBI's underlying assumption about the investigation into J6 was, we're going to exclude law enforcement phones, you already have your answer why they haven't found the person.
I was about to say, I'm not a rocket scientist or a star FBI agent like you, but you would not, you'd never even think of that, because obviously law enforcement's innocent. You search all phones, right? The fact that you think exclude law enforcement, that tells you right there, right?
12% of firefighters, or 12% of arsons are done by firefighters in this country, just for whatever that's worth.
But am I right that you would normally do in a phone search, you do it all, right?
Yeah, you don't exclude anybody. They have to prove that they're not supposed to be there. Like, you exclude them once they've proven it.
2 minute break. I'm going to cover the mess with both of you guys. Closing comments. Amazing. Joseph McBride. McBride, New York City. We'll also give you a call, Sarah, for the side as well. This is so revolutionary.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You got pipe bombs. You do a search for geolocation, but you say, but don't look at law enforcement. Well, law enforcement's obviously not involved. We can cut that out, but why would you do that up front? That is the big tell, and you got Congress all over this. I don't just say things lightly. There's no way they get out of this. This isn't going away. This is totally insane, and more is coming out every day, no matter what they do. And the big takeaway is Bongino and Kash Patel have been all over covering this up. Very sad. Only closing comments from Kyle Serafin, batting 1,000 FBI whistleblower, and then Joseph McBride, who's the first person to get the unedited videos out inside the Capitol to prove what was really going on. So two real heroes here that are going up against the system. Closing comments on this, putting bookends on it, Kyle Serafin.
Yeah, sure. People just have to ask themselves a real simple question. Do you think that two guys got out of their car, walked 0.7 miles directly to the only bush they were going to look at without having any foreknowledge, and it just happened to be the same bush that the person was wearing a hood.
Hundreds of bushes.
Oh, yeah. And 17 hours earlier, the pipe bomber sat there for a minute and a half and was fiddling underneath it. And then they went directly to the threat, and they found it in under 12 minutes. You got to ask yourself that question. For those of you who are wondering what the time frame was, it was 20 minutes between the first pipe bomb being found at the RNC and these guys finding the second. There was not enough time to go through footage or scrub around. They didn't even know where to look. They didn't know that there was going to be another pipe bomb.
Well, that was my
question.
No idea, did they have geolocation? Because out in the dark, how do they in this huge park area, like bloodhounds go? They're not bloodhounds. How do they go right to it? Is that geolocation or how they?
Yeah. I don't know. That's providence. That's God hand guiding them. And then let me add the second piece of that, which is also really interesting, I think, which is to say, why did they stop? How did they know there was not going to be a third pipe bomb? How come no one's ever worried about another pipe bomb being dropped in Washington, D.C.? How come it's all over? We knew it was over on January 6th.
When you find two pipe bombs,
no one ever worried.
You seal the whole area. Oh, I didn't think of that.
Why did they not keep looking for more? Why was that good enough at that point in time? So if that works for you, you know, we got property to sell you. It's beachfront. It's the middle of Omaha, Nebraska. I think you'll love it. It just doesn't make any bit of sense. So as people consider this, the lie is ongoing. And when you guys find out what the person who found that bomb does for a living now, you're going to be thrilled. It's not my story to tell, but it's coming too, and it's equally good. It's not the CIA.
But so is it her? Is it the boyfriend? Or She is CIA, right?
The guy who actually found the bomb, the counter-surveillance unit, who is not spoken. By the way, they were not allowed to speak to Loudermilk or to Tom Massey. They were not deposed by Congress for a transcribed interview. They were kept away by Capitol Police. When you find out what that guy does now, I think you guys are going to be psyched. That's coming up pretty soon. So just stand by for that.
I hear he's about to drop another report. How do people find you, Kyle Serafin?
At Kyle Serafin on X, real easy. KyleSerafinShow.com if you want to listen to the podcast.
All right, thank you. Incredible. Joseph McBride, closing comments. Thank you so much, sir.
They never wanted this information to come out. Early on when I was making this stuff explode all over the place with regard to changing the narrative, I got a phone call when I was leaving my office on the east side of Manhattan and an invitation to go out to lunch. And on the end of the phone was Alexandra Pelosi. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. She's like, just come, just meet with me. She gave me an address to meet her. I met her there. And the first thing she said, she goes, look, AOC used to bartend here. So we had a conversation. And she was, look, I think that your guys are not necessarily who they're saying to be, but maybe you should reconsider this. And maybe you should not do that. And, you know, she was drinking tequila. And when I used to drink then, I don't drink anymore. And we were sitting there at the table. We had a good time. And then I just looked at her and she goes, do you really want to go through with this? And I said, I'm going to crucify your mother for what she did. And then at the end of that situation, I actually had her FaceTime Richard Barnett, who had his feet up on her mother's desk. And when Richard picked up the phone, he had his feet up on his desk at home. And he goes, hey, how you doing? I'm Uncle Bigo. And they had this long conversation. We hung up the phone. I said, you see, those guys aren't that bad. And she said, do you really want to do this? And I said, actually, I do. And we've been fighting the good fight ever since. They never thought this was going to come out. And they're still dealing with it till this day. No retreat, no surrender. Keep marching forward. The truth will have its day.
Victory or death, and I bet money if you'd have played ball, she'd say we got a stock tip for you.
Oh, yeah, I bet so.
I love you, man. I love people who won't sell out. Joseph McBride.
Love you too, brother.
I love you, New York City. God bless you, brother. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
See ya.
This is amazing, folks. This is so powerful. See, you know, I don't hype stuff. This is coffin nails at Globalist. This will bring them all down. Let's just keep pushing it. We'll be right back.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
All right, coming up in 54 minutes, the War Room with Harrison Smith knocking it out of the park. Not a sunshine patriot, but a winter soldier. Remember, the ball only moves down the field when you spread the word about the broadcast, share the clip, share the articles, all of it. That's not part of the victory. It's all the victory. And remember, as I hand the baton to the great Jay Dyer with Jay's analysis, with the globalist's own documents, own admissions, remember, I can't do this without you. And I'll never sell out. I'll never give in. I'll never give up, but I could give out. I'm like a horse. Those little horses they had down the coal mines that would drag up the big, loads of coal. Just feed me and give me water and pat me down at night and I'll work for you because we're all in this together. Let me tell you, I'll do this from under a bridge, but I can do so much more with your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And again, I don't own that. InfoWars doesn't own that. That's Bigley. They were just talking about the guy's ears they recognize trying to save a woman they beat to death. Nate Hughes. That's the type of guys we work with. Pardon my President Trump, J6. 4 years in prison because he wouldn't, you know, sell out. That's who we are, folks. We are in the war. We are at the tip of the spear. You know our names. You know our daddies. You know our mamas. You know what our shit smells like, man. We are out. We're wearing it all on our sleeve. We're balls to the walls, 110%. You're our fellow Americans and other people around the world that love freedom. Thanks for your support. Incredible t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, other collectible items, the very best supplements, best ultramethylene blue. We have a sale ends Friday night at midnight. $10 off on top of all the other sales that are there at checkout. When you hit checkout, $10 off. And we've got through the app on top of that, alexjonesapp.com on Droid or iPhone. It's free. Just go download it. It's the same shopping cart, 20% off on top of that. Some of these deals are lost leaders, but that's my plan. It's working because we have 80%+ reorder on the methylene blue. Oh, look at Jade Irish taking it right now. Look at that. There you go. The Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, all of it. We got a lot of big sales going right now. Take advantage of it at thealexjonesstore.com. But whatever you do, take the live feed at Real Alex Jones right now on Rumble and at Infowars.com/show and share it. I'm going to get off the air here and go work on the new backup, new news sites and all the rest of the stuff we're trying to do and sponsors and stuff. Because my goal, when we get shut down and they got the receiver, barring a miracle, it's going to happen very soon, is I want to go 19 hours a day. I think 5 a.m. to midnight is the model. And we got it. We're ready to go, folks. And I won't be the owner, so they can't shut down. I'll be the news director. They can harass me and all the rest of it. It doesn't matter. The variable is you. I fired the bat signal. Will you support? Because we're right up to the edge of this thing. And I'm only as strong as you are. Your strength is my strength. So I humbly ask for your aid and comfort. I ask for you to bet on a horse that is completely committed to you because I'm committed to myself. We're all in this together. TheAlexJonesStore.com. But whatever you do, share the live feeds right now at Real Alex Jones on X. Jay Dyer takes over now.
Thank you, Alex. Welcome to the fourth hour. I want to talk about the rest of the book that I covered in studio with Alex not too long ago that was a super important essential text. It's called Changing Images of Man, and it is a Stanford Research-produced high-level elite textbook that was normative in the 1980s, particularly came out in 1982, and is really for people studying international relations, high-level systems analysis. And the text is so revelatory that you could really just do an entire course on just this book. It's actually pretty sophisticated. It's pretty deep. And it goes into a lot of places that you wouldn't expect, especially when it comes to the planned religious engineering of the future. That is the New World Order, the elite system has to figure out how to get everybody corralled into some controlled, created religious paradigm. And that's the way that you could then sort of usher them into some sort of controlled technocratic paradigm, which we know from these dozens and dozens of texts that we've lectured through over the last 10 years here with Alex in the fourth hour in the last 6 years. And then prior to that on my own YouTube channel, 5-6 years prior to that. So we've been doing this for about 10 years and we've gotten through dozens of these texts, and it's pretty amazing how revelatory they actually are. They're so arrogant and so confident that nobody would really read these texts that they didn't see a problem really in sort of laying it all out. There's not necessarily one book that lays it all out, although you could argue that there's a handful of books that pretty much lay it out. There's, I think, systemic structural analysis that could be done to find the patterns and the similarities amongst these texts. And actually, it turns out a lot of this isn't even new. So what I want to start by talking about before we get to Changing Images of Man, the second half of it, is to go back again to the ancient world and to realize that a lot of these control structures had been delineated in the ancient times. You had empires, you had emperors that had figured out pretty sophisticated ways to control the population. And these techniques and these strategies, the reason that they don't change, the reason that they're still relevant is precisely because humans don't really change. I mean, we have advancements, we have, progress in some sense, but human nature doesn't really change, especially after the fall. You can count on humans to kind of act the same way. And thus their behavior is kind of predictable. Not in every single case, but in most cases it's predictable. So I think we have this attitude that everybody in the ancient world was really stupid and, you know, we're so wise and sophisticated because we have, you know, microwaves and we have refrigerators. But Plato wrote a book called The Republic many years ago. And in that book, he talks about not just the structure of society and how it should be organized with sort of a three-tiered pyramidal kind of structure, but he also talked about in a later book that there would be a council of the night, he called it. And this council of night would be like a kind of private oligarchical intelligence government. So you'd have essentially spies that would meet at night. They would be the real oligarchical control structure for the perfect society or the ideal society. And they would have inside information and they would meet secretly. And really this is because the masses can't grasp and can't understand and can't really participate at that level. For the philosopher king, for example, you had to go study geometry and high level mathematics up on a mountain for many years. And then you could come back down and you could perhaps rule with some degree of virtue. It's interesting that they thought that the closer you were to mathematics, the closer you were to the ideal, hence you're studying math like on a mountain or something, then you were closer to the transcendent or to the divine. You could then come back and impress the mathematical, the ideal, the organized structure upon reality as the philosopher king. And only if you had cultivated some degree of the control of the passions or the control of the self. So that idea also is connected. I think it's book 4 in the Republic, which talks about, it's either 4 or 6, but it talks about the myth of the ring of Gyges. And it's the story about this magical ring that makes you invisible. And if you had this power, would you use it for vice or would you have enough self-control that you wouldn't use it, you know, in an ill, to get ill-gotten means or gains or whatever, that you would still act virtuous even if you had this tremendous power? And then it goes on to talk about the noble lie, which is the idea that society needs to be held together, perhaps even with some religious lie or some sort of controlled narrative. And the narrative might be made up by the philosopher king or the council of night or whoever. Regardless, it's a story that's told that keeps people kind of corralled and in line. Though, so the narrative can't fall or else the society might collapse. We're right now, for example, seeing a war, a collapse in the World War II consensus and the boomer era narratives are all collapsing. And the narrative after that to collapse will be the classical liberal narrative. When that collapses, we will be looking for things like the idea of a Christian state, things like what Byzantium offered when it comes to the notion of symphonia between church and state, the idea that we could somehow battle these other cultures, these religions like Islam, which don't believe in a secular realm, that we're going to fight that with some sort of enlightenment liberalism is just absurd, especially when we got to the point where enlightenment liberalism has caved into postmodernism and nihilism and people aren't having offspring. So if you're not having offspring, you're not going to beat the people that have 8 and 10 kids. Really only traditional Christian perspectives will have the ability just on the basis of offspring to go into the future to actually battle against these ideologies. And we saw this week, for example, a representative out of South Carolina attacking the Orthodox Church because it has tripled in size in a lot of churches. It even made the front page of the Drudge Report today that people are flocking to the Orthodox Church. Why is this? Well, I've had, by God's grace, some role in this. And so obviously I'm going to be concerned when neocon conservative so-called congressmen are attacking and saying that the Orthodox Church is really just an extension of Russiagate and Putin's power, when the irony is that this person just met with Jelani, talking about Representative Wilson, who himself was formerly al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, et cetera, ISIS, and now is the head of Assad's toppled Syria. So the hypocrisy is not lost, I think, on the audience. And in fact, it was encouraging to see thousands of people in the comments really giving it back to this guy full force, because it's ridiculous to say that this is the threat. This is the danger that, you know, Russia collusion nonsense is still going on. And it's the fault of the Orthodox Church, when ironically, many of these people who fled Bolshevik and communist Russia were white Russians who came to the West and had the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia set up with the aid of the CIA and British intelligence fleeing from communists. So the idea that they're all somehow KGB, they're all Russian intelligence is absurd. And why has, where, what about Saudi Arabia that's put, according to Max Blumenthal's book, billions of dollars into building mosques throughout the United States in the last 20 years? Where are the senators and the congressmen on that? What about Israeli penetration of our superstructure, of our government? What about Epstein and the relationship to the Mossad and Ehud Barak, which is all now public? Silence on all of that. But no, Russia is using its minority group of the Russian Orthodox Church. And the article was so bad, they didn't even know the difference between the Serbian bishop and a Russian Orthodox bishop. They thought they were the same thing. So this is not coming from people who actually, it's about the Hill article. They're not really knowing what they're talking about. Furthermore, Zelensky has persecuted the Orthodox Church brutally in Ukraine. So this idea that that has anything to do with Putin's influence in America is all absurd. It's just neocon propaganda, and everyone has seen the hypocrisy. And at the same time, the Pope made a statement, a couple days ago, about open borders. It's time, because of fake Christian guilt, for you to have open borders in America. And tisk-tisk on ICE, you know, deporting people. How mean and unchristian that is. And it was so emboldening to see just tens of thousands of comments underneath the Pope's multi-million viewed tweet, everyone giving it back to the globalist climate change open borders Pope. Everyone pointing out the giant Leonine wall. Everyone pointing out that the Vatican, according to even Catholic news sites, had recently upped its restrictions on people coming into Vatican City and migrating there or seeking any kind of asylum there. So no, there's a giant Leonine wall. It's a walled-in city-state. The Vatican Bank is the most private secret bank in the world. And the Pope also has, by the way, his own secret service. And yes, they're armed. But he lectures us. He lectures the West on having weapons for self-defense. He believes in disarmament. He believes in open borders. In fact, the documents of Vatican II, Gaudium et Spes, teach chain migration, open borders, disarmament, all the things that the Vatican City State itself does the opposite of. And the great sign of hope here is, just like with Representative Wilson and all the comments calling him out for the hypocrisy here, everyone is calling out the Pope's hypocrisy in the replies. I mean, just again, I scrolled through countless thousands of comments, and I think I saw one or two backing up the nonsense from the Pope, because everyone can see the hypocrisy here. So these infiltrators and subversives that have gotten into these positions, both in church and in state, it's not accidental that they all pretty much have the same end goal philosophy, and it aligns perfectly with what we see in Changing Images of Man, which is to create this future globalist government. And it doesn't matter whether you're a AOC lib or some sort of neocon Representative Wilson, they're all pretty much on the same page at the end of the day, because they are subservient to bigger masters above them who openly want a technocratic global government. And it doesn't matter whether we talk about the atheist Gentile socialist technocrats or whether we talk about rabbinic Kabbalistic socialist Zionists. They all have the same end goal. It really doesn't matter. That's why ultimately it's not so much a specific religion as it is people committed to a overall satanic agenda. And it doesn't mean you have to be self-conscious that you're serving Satan. You don't have to commit some blood pact, you know, in Hollywood, under an underground base or something like that. Like, you could literally just be serving these designs, even if you don't even know it. That's the crazy part, especially when we're rechanging Images of Man, because it gets into stuff that was talked about back in Plato's day. In fact, Plato said that, as we noted, there would have to be a lie that would told, a narrative told to hold society together. And the intelligence class, the deep state, according to Plato, they would be in charge of really holding this narrative together and making sure that society kept to this. And sometimes it's necessary to update and tweak the narrative. And so if we go back to changing images of man and this idea of a future religion where we all are sort of collectivized into worshiping Mother Earth, the religion is one of immanence and pantheism. That way, it doesn't really matter what the external dressing is that you have. Maybe you're wearing the costume of being a Christian, a priest. You're wearing the costume of being a yogi. You're wearing the costume of whatever religion. In reality, the higher religion is all the religions in terms of some skeletal system of Neoplatonism, Kabbalism, or perennialism. And all of those things kind of share similarities. It's not identical, but Plato said that in the Timaeus, the whole universe is really structured like a man. It's like a body. And the mind corresponds to the monad or the one, the God thing, the great mind that manifests itself throughout the universe. And then in some other sense, the universe itself is sort of the body of that man, right? So there's a external, internal, a spiritual, physical domain that exists. And the higher ontological or metaphysical sphere is up there towards the mind, the thought, the rational, etc. And in terms of the universe, you have the plebs, the workers, they're sort of the body, they're sort of the lower caste, and they all serve in this great hierarchy, the super state, the ideal state, and that state is kind of a manifestation of God too. So you'll notice within Platonism, the Republic is literally a kind of theocratic manifestation of the divine. So when we get to changing images of man, they note that for the future religion, it is actually perennialism that will be the crucial key component for how to unify all the diverse, fractured world religions. So we'll have to have a giant ecumenist movement, not just for Christianity, but also for the world religions. They call this paradigm warfare. Traditional Christianity, changing images of man notes, was too exclusivist. It said that there's objective truth, there's an external world, there's an external to you God that's personal. No, it's if you make all of reality God in terms of pantheism, then everything that exists is a manifestation of God. So the Buddhists and their religion, that's just another different manifestation of the one great God being. Remember, all of reality, it may not be the highest plane or dimension, but it's a lower plane of dimension or reality or emanation of God that still manifests God. And who are you as a Christian to say that the Buddhist manifestation of the divine isn't equal to or perhaps even greater than your manifestation of the divine? Precisely because Neoplatonism, Platonism, Originism, etc. are universalist, the universalist paradigms are much more useful than anything to do with a specific God, with a specific claim like Jesus makes in John 14:6 that, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Rather, man needs to be reintegrated into a holistic collectivist image where there are still castes and there are still hierarchies. And you're going to be blown away at what it actually admits here in a moment in terms of the possibilities of where we're going. This new dimension, this new religion, this new paradigm is specifically one constructed by social engineers. So notice it's not, you know, the 1960s counterculture revolution with LSD and with all this stuff just happening organically. I mean, there may have been a lot of people organically involved in the movement, but what happens is these movements, whether started by the system or co-opted by the system, become tools for the creation of the new paradigm. And this book is very candid about the 1960s countercultural revolution really being crucial to not just sexual revolution, but drug revolution, changing the images of man. These videos that you're seeing are perfect because through the sort of ecstatic initiatory approach, this Dionysian initiation that occurred, people will be able to dissociate, according to Huxley, and reinterpret all of reality according to new subjective existentialist paradigms. Instead of shared common ideals and beliefs, like belief in the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, a belief in, being an entrepreneur, creating your own business, et cetera, all of those Western quote unquote ideas would be supplanted by a new drug fueled initiatory mystical perspective that, as Changing Images of Man states, would be irrational, anti-rational. Now, that's not to say that it's therefore against technocracy necessarily. Some of the 1960s countercultural people, writers, et cetera, even people like Terence McKenna, they might have been critical of technocracy. But in reality, as Changing Images of Man notes, this can easily be shifted back into a pro-technocratic, pro-dystopian future. And that's unfortunately where we're going if we don't wake up and understand this. And I'm going to get to this crazy technocrat part here in a moment when we get to the latter sections of Changing Images of Man, the famous 1982 textbook for the elite. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're going to be talking about Kabbalism and the new religion of the future.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way. So if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. JayDyer.com and Jay Dyer on YouTube. Be sure and follow me on YouTube and turn on the notifications. Also, you can get my new book, Esoteric Hollywood 3. I've written 1,000 pages plus now on in-depth film analysis. It also covers all of the global elite texts that you hear me discussing here on the fourth hour. They're all sort of packed into this book. And I think 3 is going to be sort of the crowning gem, the crown of the whole trilogy. Also at my website, jaysnelson.com, you get signed copies, not just of those, also my 660 pages of all of my geopolitical and philosophical writings, separate from the movie stuff. It's the red book at jaysnelson.com in the shop. All the book options at the website are signed copies. You don't have to request it to be signed. So, Changing Images of Man moves to the analysis of individual personal transformation, and that you could extrapolate that onto society as a whole, because kind of like Plato said, it's almost like society as a whole is a big man, a big individual, a collective individual. And there's stages to this transformation. And actually, they say in order to understand civilizational transformation, you have to read Arnold Toynbee and Carol Quigley, people that we've talked about many times over. You also need to read Thomas Kuhn and The Structures of Scientific Revolution and How Paradigms and Presuppositions Work. Also things that we've covered extensively for many, many years. But there's stages of transformation, and these stages actually can be mirrored in the macro scale. And that is expanded out from the crisis state to a period of stress, a breakdown, a kind of a death. And then you expand that into offering the new paradigm. So it's almost like they kind of understand the process of not just problem, reaction, solution, but the promotion of new narratives and paradigms that are actually crafted and concocted. And you might say, well, what do they see as new paradigms that could be utilized or could be propped up? Well, thankfully, they list for us all the great ideas that we should be looking to, like studying group dynamics, studying non-rational elements in our society, studying L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology, studying psychedelic drugs, looking to integral yoga, self-hypnosis, biofeedback, imagistic thinking over conceptual thinking. This is why we have like emojis everywhere and not people don't read anymore. That's by design. New educational models, Common Core, etc. And also the idea, this is actually what it says. You can read this on page 151 if you have the PDF. The promotion of set and setting so that new creative models can be developed through doing acid. Set and setting is Tim Leary stuff about what you put the setting you put yourself into to prepare for the acid trip or for the shrooms or the shamanic initiation, right? So it's actually saying that what we've learned out of MKUltra, and it literally says MKUltra stuff on the page prior to this, page 150, it talks about citing Abraham Maslow, and they're talking about LSD research. That these approaches can lead to significant changes in the individual. So in other words, not just individual psychic transformation and change. That's what the Abraham Maslow quote is about, psychic damage and change. This can then be expanded to the whole society. It's exactly what happened in the 1960s. is that everyone sort of thought they were breaking free from some control system. And perhaps in some ways they were, if they were being, you know, questioning the war, they're anti-war or whatever. But actually they were being given a new narrative, a new story, a new paradigm that was already prepared. And it's a narrative and a paradigm prepared by the establishment. That's what's so important to understand. It's like so many people think they're being anti-establishment. And they're really just in another corralled version of the establishment, an approved, acceptable version of the establishment. And in fact, they cite Joseph Campbell here in the 1960s as saying that the known God will not endure this transformation. I'm talking about the God that the West knows, the Christian God or whatever. Rather, a new God and a new hero and a new mythology will emerge. There will be now 1,000 heroes. And I think this is referring to, you know, the hero with 1,000 faces or whatever, the Joseph Campbell story. They're saying now there's going to be new heroes, new myths. And where will we derive these from? Well, says, turns out there's similarities between the Bhagavad Gita and the Bible. So why don't we have combined religious texts, texts that sort of blend them all together? You know, we had Noah Yuval Harari, for example, saying that there will be silicon sages that will walk around and they'll be better than any single religious text because they'll have all the religious texts on hand. They'll be able to just sort of spit them out, right? And why not have that AI God as your new God versus, oh, you think everything is just in the Bible? Oh, you follow the Quran? Oh, you just follow one book, bro? I follow all of the books that my silicon sage spits out. So the reason for this, as they note, is that society will not work without a new myth, without a new image, without a new story. And that mythology, they're saying, has to be shaped and crafted by the social engineers, the noble lie of Plato, exactly as we said, right? To create a myth and a story and a narrative that the establishment wants. This new paradigm will emerge from the old, but it will discard all of the elements that don't fit with the new coming technocratic society. It goes on to say that psychic abilities perhaps will be developed. We'll have this sort of new consciousness based around psychic abilities. Movies, cinema, and music will be replaced with the synthetic, it says. This is also sort of Brave New World stuff. And this is where the book gets very bizarre because it starts to move into it's halfway warning that this might happen. But as a lot of these elite texts do, kind of like with Bertrand Russell, Impact of Science on Society, says, well, you know, we don't want the dystopia, but here's the ways that we could get to a total technocratic dystopia. So it's like halfway a warning, but also halfway saying, but then again, you know, this might just be where we need to go. In order to get to the technocratic society, and they're also kind of just discussing what they think will occur, not necessarily what has to occur. They said there are some bright spots in terms of where the progress is going and moving. It says on page 158 that we will notice that amongst the youth and especially amongst bookstores. Now notice bookstores are going away. They're filled with toys and Funko Pops and the scent of ass. There's no more bookstores, but in the 1980s, bookstores were interested in yoga, health, occult, extrasensory processes, psychic powers, divination, esoteric wisdom. And he says that will tell you that that's where society is going if you just look at the popular books and the popular trends. In fact, it says population growth is on the decline. And this is good because environmental awareness is now growing. New legislation is being considered that might promote holistic views of society. For example, there's a recent bill on national growth policies. We're talking about pushing austerity and pushing the limitation of having children. Now, this didn't ever happen, but they were trying to push this back in the 1980s. Increasing numbers of technical symposia and ad hoc groups are being formed on the basis of survival-motivated transformation. In other words, world order, a.k.a. the Club of Rome. So they're citing the Club of Rome as the model, the blueprint, it says, for a future austerity-based, controlled, technocratic society that limits how many children you can have. That reduces population drastically on the basis of saving the environment. In order to get there, they say that we got to move away from ideas of rational-based living, living your life with critical thinking, and instead moving towards transformational discovery through irrationally based experiences. In other words, the Dionysian shamanic initiation approach. And as you can see here from the Olympics, this is exactly the world that Changing Images of Man envisioned and planned for. Future shocks, as Alvin Toffler talked about, future shock is cited here in the book, as well as other elite texts that we've mentioned in the past. But this is where it really gets crazy. And I was even surprised to see this after this is the next chapter that talks about societal choices and consequences and the new image that they're going to create, right? So what is the new image of man that Changing Images of Man puts forward? Well, it says at the beginning of this chapter, this is kind of ironic that they would admit this. It is not possible to prove one image of humankind is ultimately better or more valid than any other image. Well, now, wait a minute. Then why are you trying to give us a new image of man if you can't prove that it's any better than the other ones? So they're sort of giving the game away when they admit that it's all based on pure subjectivism and relativism. Nothing's actually true. And this is, they begin this chapter by quoting Alvin Toffler in Future Shock. And, but wait a minute. If nothing is actually provable or true, then how can you actually say that nothing is provable or true? So there's actually a very fundamental contradiction from the outset of this book. But what would we expect from a book that tells us that we're not going to be functioning on the basis of logic and reasoning, and we're not going to worry about contradicting anymore? We're just going to be initiatory. We're going to accept the contradictions. We are going to create, it says, a polarized dialectic, an idealized polarity out of which perhaps we will get a future synthesis, it says on page 164. And I was, wait a minute, this sounds familiar. Polarized dialectical synthesis. Where have we heard this before? Oh, that's actually an old alchemical idea. That's actually what we read about in Kabbalah. And if you doubt me on that, the most famous philosopher of this immanence idea that God is just all of reality and process. Well, there was a famous philosopher named Hegel, who influenced people like Karl Marx very heavily. And it turns out Hegel was a hermeticist. Hegel and the hermetic tradition. See that? Well, who influenced Hegel for his process philosophy and that all reality is just God in motion, in process? Well, this is an academic text, not a conspiracy text. Professor Glenn McGee states, this is citing Hegel, God is God only insofar as he has knowledge of himself. His self-knowledge is self-consciousness in man and man's knowledge of God. All of these are self-knowledge in God. So God is man and is knowledge and is all process, basically. And God is working himself out dialectically in historical process, according to Hegel, getting this from Jacob Boehm and from the Kabbalists. It says, alchemy, Hermes Trismegistus, the thrice great Hermes, Kabbalah, Raymond Lull, Meister Eckhart, and Nicholas of Cusa all became influential thinkers that helped to develop Hegel's hermetic occult philosophy. But again, it's also out of, as we said, the Kabbalah. One of the elements of the Kabbalah is not just, you know, the tree of the Sephiroth or whatever, which is actually just borrowed from Neoplatonism. There's also the idea of the two pillars of Jachin and Boaz, which are supposedly the two pillars of, you know, Solomon's temple. These are the two polarities. These are mercy and severity. And then you have the sort of middle path in between these two polarities. But people don't think about this Kabbalistic idea as also something that can relate to the control of society. Two-party system, fake left and fake right. Do you want this goblin or that goblin, right? It's another version of this. The French Revolution, which was heavily influenced by Platonism, Pleithon, and Baruch Spinoza. Spinoza was a pantheist, and Spinoza also would have been aware of these Kabbalistic ideas in his pantheism. And what do we get out of the French Revolution? The fake left-right dialectic. of politics, literally. It's no longer about virtue and vice, what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's false. It's left or right, two sides of a relativistic dialectic. And it is always, even back to that time, been a control system. Do you want liberal revolution or conservative revolution? The American system comes out of the right-wing revolution, the Girondins. They were sitting on the right side of the provisional government in France when the revolutionaries set up a provisional government. The Jacobins sat on the left side of the provisional government, hence right and left. Do you want to be Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, or do you want to be Adam Weishaupt and communists over here on the left? They're both revolutionary forces, and thus all classical liberalism is still part of the liberal ethos, the Enlightenment ethos. It is part of this dialectic. And that's why nothing ever changes as long as we just keep pushing more liberalism, more classical liberalism, more classical liberalism. You need more than just liberalism and negative freedom. You also need a positive worldview and paradigm to ground people in something beyond just GDP. Okay? People want and need, even Plato reckoned, even if you believed atheism, even if you believed the Platonic noble lie of you, Plato had enough insight into human nature to realize that humans need religious narratives. So the classical liberal narrative doesn't offer that. So really what's at the root of the split with MAGA isn't just the question of the relationship of Israel. That's part of it. But it's also the only tolerable discourse going back to William F. Buckley has been the idea that you have to be a classical liberal to be a conservative. And all of the older paleocons were pushed out by design by people like William F. Buckley from the CIA to make libertarianism now the new conservatism. Thus, the values are subdued and sublimated to the economic positions. So now you can have all the butt stuff, do all that, and you're conservative. Big tent conservatism. But there's a reaction now against that. And it's not just about the relationship of Israel and the U.S. government. That's part of it. But people like Dinesh D'Souza, who, by the way, is too scared to actually debate me. He won't have a full-on debate. He just keeps running, talking nonsense. None of these people will actually come and debate their positions, which is telling. And even when he tries to debate, he gets demolished by Nick Fuentes. So he can't actually do anything to prop up this older boomer classical liberal stuff, which is going away. And that's absolutely tied into the Zionist Christian dispensational stuff. That stuff's dying. That's really what's going on with the MAGA civil war. It's much bigger than the nation state of Israel. And I'm not a Christian nationalist, although I do believe that ultimately in the long run, we could get to the ideas of Christian principles in government. All of the history of the Christian church from the Christianization of the Roman Empire all the way up until the Enlightenment and the Protestant Reformation, even into the Protestant Reformation, you had Christian principles in the state. That's the only way to stop things like radical Islam. You can't beat it on a secular basis, because they don't have a secular ethos. They don't care about your libertarian civic nationalism principles. You need more than that. And only Orthodox Christianity has survived with that pre-modern ethos. That's why it's attracting people. It's not a mystery. It's not, oh, I don't know what, people are converted to Orthodoxy, because the papacy is fake and gay. They're out of promoting, the Pope just had a giant trans dinner. So nobody wants that. That's why underneath the Pope's tweets, it's tens of thousands of people calling him out on the hypocrisy. That's why the neocons are saying it's time to go after Orthodox Christians in America, because they're assets of Putin. Just a continuation of the Russia collusion nonsense, which already collapsed. That's what's going on. And it's not hard to see that that's what's going on. Now, that doesn't mean that we will necessarily get out of this or fix this. Why? Well, there's a deeper, darker plan that I could not believe was in this book. I can't believe they actually say this, the level of crazy that this gets to. And again, it's almost like they're kind of halfway warning about it, but it's kind of like they're saying, well, you know, we might not get 1984 and we don't want that, but let's go with the Brave New World, you know, happiness, drugs and sex model over the, you know, 1984 model. How about that? Because we're going to have a dystopia. It's kind of like, look, we're going to have a dystopia. We all know that. Do you want Soma and butt stuff, or do you want to be in a cell with Victory Gen and Victory Sigs? Well, you want butt stuff, of course, right? So that's the whole future, is just putting stuff in your butt. That's all there is. Life is nothing but putting things in butts. That's it. That's all that matters. Like wanting seed, right? Before it gets to this really damning admission section, the book says, look, here are some of the principles for the future evolutionary transformational image of man. That's their idea. They call the new image is the, quote, evolutionary transformationalist image of man. That's the new image of man that they're pushing. Okay, what is that? Well, Lockean man, John Locke, is a man in the pre-social condition of the human being that was not mutually hostile, but mutually tolerant. So we need tolerance. Well, that's really a hot take there with tolerance, right? Next, humanistic capitalism. This is like stakeholder capitalism or whatever the Rothschilds recent. They had some new branding of capitalism, which was basically just Davos capitalism that they were writing about it back in 1982. That will replace the idea of economic growth capitalism. Religiously, perennial philosophy and the all religions are a manifestation of the one out of Huxley. The no borders idea of no territoriality. So just like private property is bad, having a nation with borders is bad. So we're going to get rid of borders, exactly what the Pope's calling for. We will plumb the depths of the traditional lore of primitive cultures to create a religion that fosters an ecological ethic. No borders, no territories. That's classical libertarianism too, by the way. And a systems holistic ethic where everybody is linked into a giant collective. Now that's not the crazy part. That's just what the image of the new man is, a kind of a techno shaman, sort of like a festival bro is what they're talking about here, right? But what about the possibility of this turning into what they call technocracy fascism or techno urban fascism? We might call this the possibility of a friendly fascism. It will be 100% American, and it will be based around advanced technology, techno-urban fascism, American style. Ultimately, this will be not in any conflict with post-industrial society because they want to go to a post-industrial society. It will, in fact, be pluralistic in nature. Techno-urban fascism does not need a charismatic dictator. It doesn't need a single-party rule for politics. It doesn't need a fascist party. It doesn't need elections. It doesn't need any of the old models. Instead, everything will be planned, all areas of life planned, including the economy, including your day-to-day life, politics, society, culture, everything planned via the technocrat. And thus, it's not so much about a top-down control as it is everything managed. So it's a lateral control by algorithms and AI. And it goes on to say, yeah, it looks like we could actually run into a Brave New World scenario. For example, there might evolve a social credit score. There might be the application of military surveillance technologies to all areas of life and urban police, urban policing becoming militarized. The utilization of behavior changing drugs and operant conditioning from school age onward, drugging the youth. That, by the way, that applies to trans as well because they drug them and sterilize them in that as well. Government control of the news. Personality screening to determine the possibility of pre-delinquent children on the basis of genetics. Interesting. Cross-correlation of computer-based files on every human being and their personal data. So total tracking and tracing. the introduction and legislation of controlled access to self-initiated alteration of consciousness through the legalization of drugs. So, Brave New World. You get your soma, you get your mind control, you get your technocracy, but you're going to be happy. You'll own nothing, but you'll be happy. Be sure and go to the Alex Jones store and get that methylene blue, which I'm a big fan of. All those great products at the Alex Jones Show.
Our medical grade USP Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Anybody who's halfway informed about health and vitality knows that turmeric is one of the top supernutrients in the world. But concentrated turmeric is what you want. Most turmeric pills are 4%, that's raw. This is the strongest, 95% curcuminoid with a bunch of other concentrated supernutrients like ginger and black pepperdine. And it's finally back in stock. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. Just go see what Robert O. Kennedy Jr. says about turmeric. And this stuff is the Godzilla of turmeric. And it funds the InfoWar. And while you're at thealexjonesstore.com, be sure to check out the widest selection anywhere of Patriot 1776 Part 2. Incredible clothing, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies. It's all there, like this baby, the Second American Revolution, at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're funding the tip of the spear in the Second American Revolution when you support us. So I thank and salute you all. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.